Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon!
Please see how he treats and false prophets and traitors and let them live.
Come, we tell them this time
I'm right. He's asking crazy.
Every time.
And you never know. You should know.
Everything that I left there. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their
illusion.
Now getting caught in their confusion. Escaping this mental
invasion.
I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their
illusion.
Their confusion. Rest of my neck is this invasion. Seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. I see that there is pride behind all this fight. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right. Yeah, it is so hard to express my feelings. Oh Lord, about the misconceptions of my teachers. Can't you see the prophecies revealing? Oh Lord,
beggar.
Oh Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
Rising.
Well, man, I be reaping them so. Oh,
man, I be reaping them so.
Ambitious mind, elevating so. Ambitious mind, evil see them as so. Frustration turn most friends into foe. Working day and night trying to overthrow. To counsel together, plot against a brother. Grabbing a barrel, losing the mind of a hero.
Why?
Last the wicked gates a turn rock flow. Oh, the wicked gates a turn rock flow.
It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. See that there is pride behind all this fight. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Can it be so hard to express my feelings?
My feelings.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. About the misconceptions of my teachers. Oh, boy, boy.
Uh-huh.
Hey, can't you see prophecies revealing?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Segregation is rising.
It's rising,
rising.
Yeah. Oh, no, can't fly high.
Can't fly high.
Oh, no, can't fly low.
Oh, just can't fly low.
Oh, no, walk on mountains. Show off no people and laugh. They're gonna be big prophet showing some. We learn them and teach. They know we are no rich. Ignorance of the fool, yes, yes, no one's sick. Oh, eating the people, they must stray out of sin. Everyone feed themselves, first place on a single. Get on the glory, the earth to the meek. Hey, hey, if I love, I weak. Harvest time, how when them are gonna reap? You think the judge are dead, but see my life on a single.
Them
so. We all got to reap what we
sow.
Man, I feel reap what we sow.
Yeah.
Man, I feel. I say.
Shot them, broke your bone with stone.
revolution. Yeah, I'm on culture revolution. Coming in a Babylon land. A revolution. Yeah, a hot revolution. Ring bang da da ding, bang da da ding. Heads of government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, jump your soul, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big peach, time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering, son. There's got to be a revolution. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang, da, da, dang, dang, da, da, dang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but whoremongers. Idol worshippers, them assassins. Yo, you better come down off of your pumps and try to pick in poor people for a joyride. Cause all your teeth is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools, just fool. Sure, cause a revolution, yeah. The poor boy to steal the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang. Whoa, whoa. No matter how them a come out and a kin off them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a paging speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on sight of revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, Blog Talk Radio. While I'm waiting for my guest to call in, my topic tonight, I'd like to talk about how there are just too many black nationalist organizations. Everybody has a message. Everybody has a reason, has a cause for becoming a black nationalist. I want to hear what people have to say about that. So, while I wait for my guests, let me go into something else.
Keep it gangsta. Keep it gangsta. Keep it gangsta. All gangsta from Jamaica. Keep it gangsta. All American gangsta. Keep it gangsta. It's just a gangsta movement, a gangsta grooving. Gangsta win, gangsta don't lose. And real gangsta got nothing to prove. And gangsta white, gangsta no confused. I'm a gangsta youth with some gangsta truth. And my gangsta suit in my gangsta boots. I got my gangsta girl, she's gangsta cute. In the gangsta wheel, man, bring her fruit. My gangsta ride, my gangsta ways and my gangsta pride. No gangsta war, no gangsta strife. Just gangsta youth living gangsta life. I get the gangsta smile from a gangsta child. So I rest my gangsta life a while and pick up my pen lyrics stuff in a pile. And it turn on me, I feel right a gangsta style.
Real gangsta don't play.
Real gangsta
don't play.
make gangster deal. With a gangster approach and a big man appeal, yeah. Gangster laws and gangster claws in the gangster world and the gangster lord. And respect unto all my dogs. Red gangster talk, boy, pick up my phone, yeah. Gangster for all my days. Gangster life is what I pray. Cause I'm schooled in the gangster.
Cause I'm a gangster. Just a reflection how we rear, we close or we just man a gangster. How we born and we bred, that's how we grow.
It's a Sarah Robbie production, eh?
Yeah. Down, 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 down. A tropical storm, yeah. We going to warm, yeah. Girl, if you want to know me better, just call my name. I be standing right here and the girls them lady. And writing my name on the wall of fame. No make no complaints. It's the when she sing Calypso.
Everybody's talking about you, babe.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then the next y'all a mass out. When this a whole lot start park out, y'all best with them and pack out them things and walk out. At y'all a drop down and a paint and a pass out. Well, in a minute, let me get me business heart out. My fans them love me from the first day me start out. People a shout out me name from all out. From the journey to Babylon to Manna Park Road. Boy, I try look me girl and sign in land out. And I call out me name but me a feel laugh out. Them say them tough for look up with them tough out.
Yeah.
Rob Show. I'm your host, Seth Rob. Here, Blog Talk Radio. Yes. Like I was saying, are there just too many black nationalist organizations? And you hear a lot about this group, that group, this group, that group. And I was thinking, Buddy brought the topic up, so that's why there's just so many black nationalist organizations. A lot of ideas and possible agreements, but no unity, no foundation, no structure. I added no consistency. And how do you move forward? Or are these groups just going in circles? Who really has the best idea for your family or your future? Take care of our needs. What do we need? Brother, I hear you back there. You there?
Yes, sir. You, bro?
Ooh, bro. How you feeling?
Man, another day of struggle. Another day of the struggle, brother. How's everything going with the stuff? And hopefully the listening audiences give us some feedback today, because very important question you raised, bro. Very important question. And that relates to the 1,001 organizations we have. But no.
Are you sure it's 1,001? It might be a million and one.
Might be, brother. It might be. I'm just, you know, I don't want to make us look too bad.
Think they're making their own selves look bad.
Yes, sir. And that's funny.
Yeah.
Million and one. No foundation. No agreed upon foundation. That's something else.
That is. You know, nothing. I agree with you, man. I just see there's no. It's no foundation, not even an organization. Just talking about this and talking about that and going nowhere.
Yeah, I had a conversation earlier with a brother, and we touched on one particular subject, and that's the subject of what do we call ourselves? Do we call ourselves Moors? Do we call ourselves Black? Do we call ourselves Afro-American? Do we call ourselves Africans? You know, what do we call ourselves? Which one should be our national identity here?
But isn't that the beginning question? You know, should that be one of the beginning
right.
questions? What
right.
do you call yourself?
And what should you call yourself? Now, that's a...
Everybody's stuck with that question, man. What do you call yourself?
It's a perfect question because, of course, we need a national identity. Where we get lost at is because we're in the situation where you have organizations like the Moorish Science Temple of America who won't claim African, who won't claim Pan-Africanism, who won't claim blacks, who won't claim nothing that you are. You or I, or the vast majority of our people, would claim, who would say we're Moors. You know, we should call ourselves Moors, and that's fine. You know, I've always said I would agree with that if that was the consensus of the people, even if you bring historical documentation. However, my refute to that, as well as many others who would say, no, we the tribe of Shabazz. We the tribe of this. We're this. We're that. However, the underlying tenet to all of those organizations is they consider themselves, and we consider ourselves as gods. And you know, Brother Rod, what do we say in conversations all day long within the conscious community? Brother, we gods, brother. We gods, and then there's the supreme God whom we serve. We're going to be free. We're going to be liberated because we gods. We are the cream of the crop, the fathers of civilization. But we arguing over whose term we should use, whether we should use Moors, whether we should use blacks, whether we should use Africans, whether we should use whatever we should use. But if we gods, why don't
we
recreate
that? They ain't just arguing. They fighting.
They fighting, brother.
And they get stuck with that fight.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
And overlooking the bigger picture, you stuck on what to call yourself. Okay, just call yourself man or woman for right now. Okay, so what are you going to do after that?
Or brother and sister, but to take it even deeper than that, if you call yourselves gods, you call yourselves the original man. You call yourself the father of civilization. You call yourselves the root of all of humanity, which is here. But if that be the case, why aren't you manifesting your godhood? In other words, recreate your identity if you are God. Why can't we sit down and say, you know what, this has held for so many years, calling ourselves this, calling ourselves that, arguing about whether we this, whether we that. If we gods, why can't we sit down at the table, have mutual consultation with each other, and recreate a national identity that we can agree on? It doesn't have to pertain to the word more. It doesn't have to pertain to the word black. It doesn't have to pertain to African. It doesn't have to pertain to nothing we may disagree with today. But we can recreate ourselves into a new national identity that we can agree on and we can move forward. Nobody wants to do that, Brother Rod. Why? Because now you're messing with the root of their organization. You messing with, well, so-and-so taught us that we were this. So-and-so taught us that we were that. However, to my natural understanding, everybody taught that we were gods. Everybody taught that we are the gods and then there is the supreme. So, but if that's the case, why, again, can you not recreate yourself? Become that which you seek instead of constantly arguing. You know how many times people will give you a history class? Well, brother, you know, we used this term back then, and it came from, was used for me, brother, in the Kushite Empire, we was known as this, and we never considered ourselves this, or we never considered ourselves that, okay? That's back then. That is back then. You seeking to establish a new nation today.
But here's one thing. Okay.
That we face. Why can't we recreate our own national identity? Who wants to take up that challenge? Nobody wants to take up that challenge.
But here's one thing. I mean, like, is it because, I mean, right now I feel the same way you do, but to a point I feel like maybe we should go here because we at this point, we recognize what's going on. But a lot of people don't recognize what's going on. Is it because we recognize what's going on, we want to go here and kind of like push that to the side and say, let's move forward, or should we just be trying to move forward anyway? You understand what I'm getting at?
Right. Well, see, even with that, a lot of people do push it to the side, even though it's a very important question as it relates to the national identity. However, because of the argument that it produces, because of the disagreement that it produces, most people tend to push that particular piece to the side and deal with the poverty issue, deal with the lack of health care issue, deal with the other subject matters that affects us as a people. That's what the most vast majority of us tend to do, is we'll push that to the side. We'll deal with that later. That's normally the outcome of that. We'll deal with that later. Right now, we need to focus on programs for the people. We need to focus on how do we get substance to the people and examples pertaining to building their own agricultural system. You know, things like that we start focusing on because on those subject matters, we can have more of a conversation. You know, we can begin to put in place certain aspects that can be used as tools to begin the process of establishing programs for the people. But again, when we start talking about the national question, and it's always raised up, there's always an argument, always, you know, always a debate. And then again, however, the debate continues decade after decade, you know, after day after day after week after week. But again, at the end of the day, Brother Rob, if you call yourself conscious, you call yourself wise, you call yourself a God, you are father of civilization, you are the original man, then what stops you from recreating yourself and learning that process over again? You know, I had quoted from the Quran earlier to a brother. I said, it's funny how the Quran says that Allah created man into tribes and nations that they may learn from one another. But yet, we cannot recreate ourselves into a new tribe of agreement or a new nation of agreement that we can take what we've learned to establish and be again the original example to set forth to the world that who we are in essence, we recreated an agreement, and now again that you may learn from us, that you may learn of us again. We stay away from that subject, Brother Rob. We'd rather continue to debate whose teacher is the best, who has the most followers, you know, whose works came before whose works, or yay, he was in there. No, he wasn't in this organization. Yes, he was in this organization. We like debates like that. We don't want to really deal with the quote-unquote God within us.
What's the root of that problem? How do you push deeper to figure out, you know, what keeps you going here chasing your tail, so to speak?
You know what? Honestly, I think I'm not going to say the actual root, but I think one of the particular problems that could be attached to the root is the fear of responsibility, fear of duty, and fear of manifesting what you say you are, you know. And again, it still goes back to that question of God. How many of us constantly say on a daily basis, you know, we gods, we kings, we kings and queens, we gods. You know, we give ourselves these high titles, these sacred titles, these divine titles, but honestly, most of us are afraid to manifest those sacred titles, those divine titles that we spread amongst ourselves in our greetings. You know, we greet each other, hail God, so peace God, you know, but we don't treat each other like gods. We don't have the discussions like gods. And so I think it's fear. I think it's overall fear to manifest who you claim to be. Because if it was no fear, that wouldn't even be a debate. That would be automatic to sit back and say, that causes divisiveness amongst our people. And if we know we want to move forward, we have to alleviate that particular, the answers that we're giving, and raise the answers in a much more divine manner rather than continuing to give it in a way that causes divisiveness. We can recreate who we are because we are gods, and we can learn from each other what we recreated, and others can learn from us again. And we put ourselves back on that pedestal as fathers of civilization, as the original man.
Well, it seems like a steep hill to climb. But you got to start somewhere. But I keep seeing individuals who just seem, like I said, chasing their tail.
Right.
So,
You know what I mean? It's even with the word Africa. You know, you have, I've heard many brothers break down Africa. On up to the latest brother I've heard, Brother Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson. But I've heard many before the brother. Now, many may say, you know, Africa comes from Africanus, you know, Leo Africanus or what have you, some white slave master or whatever the case may be. That may very well be true, that particular term came from that particular name. But there's also brothers in the conscious community who break down the term, the word Afrika, from its ancient Egyptian Kemetic origins, breaking down Afra-Ka from the soul of God, you know, and many will break that down like that. So again, divisiveness. Either is this, or we go claim it to Afrikaners, because at the same time, as I played the round tree, or the devil's advocate, as one would say, on the Afrikaner's name, I say, okay, well, even if it was his name, could he have taken that name as his, so that he took Afra-Ka, attached it to himself, and then gave you Washington, gave you Robinson, gave you, you know, whoever. Either way, it still causes divisiveness, even when we break down certain words or names and try to attach it to ourselves. So once again, Brother Rob, why don't we manifest who we say we are and just recreate ourselves?
Yeah, I agree. Here's a question, and when I threw a definition, my guy in the chat room said, you know, he's asking, you know, are black nationalists really cults? And I got the definition of a cult, and I looked at a couple of them. They pretty much say pretty good, the same thing. Cult. The definition of a cult is a small religious group that is not part of a larger, more accepted religion, and that has beliefs regarded by many people as extreme or dangerous. Do you agree with that?
I don't believe that we would be considered a cult in that aspect, because here's the flip side. You have so many black nationalist organizations, like we mentioned earlier and joked about earlier, where there's 1,001 black nationalist organizations or 1,001,000 black nationalist organizations. The overall idea behind submitting to black nationalism or pan-Africanism is the sacredness in our suffering. How we sink into our suffering, the poverty, the overall rejection as humans and as the divine nature within ourselves. I think we're all on the same page as it relates on some aspect to those particular levels of our suffering and our oppression, our exploitation, our social degradation. We all can relate to that. However, what we relate to, we split it up into 1,000,001 particular sets. Is it a cult in the aspect, religious cult? We believe, that's the difference. You know, we're not religious as the fact that we believe that we're being oppressed. No, we don't believe we're being oppressed. We know we're being oppressed.
But could black nationalism be considered a religion?
You say, can black nationalism be considered a religion?
Yeah, how you feel about that?
I think black, if you was the face of it in that aspect, then there's a difference between religion and spirituality. You know, because it itself is just, one would say a religion is just a pattern of beliefs. And
right.
Again, it goes back to, you know, if you believe something, that means there's a line of doubt that can come in because you just believe it. I could believe that there's $1,000,000 sitting behind the door. But, you know, would you rather believe there's $100,000,000 sitting behind the door, or would you rather know if $100,000,000 sitting behind the door? You know, if you're playing a game show, right, you're playing a game show, they tell you to choose door A, B, or C. You know, you believe the prize is behind C, so you're going to say C. But wouldn't you rather know whether it's behind A or whether it's behind B, so you could pick the right one? So on a religious, could we say it's part of like a religious piece? Again, we don't believe that we're being oppressed. We don't believe we're being economically exploited. We don't believe as a mass group of people that we're being brutalized with police terrorism. We don't believe that maybe there's laws and legislation that's coming after us as a people to further bring about genocide amongst our people. We don't believe that at all. We know that's happening. We know it's happening, and so there's no doubt about it at all. There's nothing we can sit back that could come, you know, tomorrow and change our view on that. So religion, on the aspect of religion in that tale, you could have a doubt come in because you don't really know the conclusion. You just believe, like I said. Somebody could throw something in there and make you start thinking and spinning your head around. For example, it could be a religious aspect on the term of Obama. You know, some people might sit back and say, man, we suffering. Man, we oppressed. We exploited. But then when Obama took office, they felt like everything was good. The dream has been accomplished. This is why you see people walking around with T-shirts on, with King on one side, Obama on the other side. And then in the middle, it says, the dream has come true. Or the dream has been achieved. You know, so they think we liberated now. That's on that term of religion as you are giving it on the nationalist side, if nationalism is religious in that way, for individuals, it could be religious because they're looking for a changing belief. And Obama has been that changing belief for some people, and it is a religion to them. For those of us who deal on Pan-Africanism, black nationalism, or just outright self-determination, there is no belief. We know. We know.
301, your line is open.
Yeah, thanks, Chef. This is B.A. Appreciate it, brother. Great and timely topic, as usual. And hello, good evening to your guests as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just want to add, before I put aside the cult aspects or the personality, at least, cult aspects of certain organizations, certain groups that I have chosen just to stay away from. But let me say this in terms of black nationalism. Malcolm X, in his message to the grassroots in 1963, I thought laid out what black nationalism should be.
Yes, sir.
It should be centered around economics and politics. Economics and politics. Not about all this other stuff I'm hearing. The economic portion, you should at least, Malcolm says, control the economics in your own community.
Exactly. And don't
now, we don't. I don't think there's one group out there that is concerned, centered around controlling the economics in our community. Not in somebody else's, but in ours.
Right.
You should control the politics. I don't know one black nationalist organization that controls the black vote. We have allowed the Obama, the Democrats, to run us ragged. We don't run nothing in the way of politics. And politics, that vote, is leverage. Leverage for some other things. That we just, I don't, to me, we just spaced out. I love the black nationalism. To me, it's as natural to me as oxygen and water, those and shelter and clothing and bathing myself. It's just as natural as that to me. And when I see, when I'm going looking for business, and when I go to the liquor board, say what you want to, I see other outfits who are just as high-flung, just as on the outskirts of American society, okay, as some of these so-called black nationalist organizations are. But here's the thing. I go, say, to the liquor board. You know, who are the guys that wear the turbans? The Sikhs?
Those guys in it. Like
they all up and they're all up and down of the liquor boards. They're running retail liquor all across the Midwest on the East Coast. They got an economy. They ain't got no community because they ain't selling liquor to one another. But they understand if we're going to be something real, we're going to thrive regardless of what we believe. We got to have an economic base. Okay? I'm not too far from Amish country. The Amish is supposed to be, you know, we don't use electricity, we horse and buggy, we got these strange Christian beliefs, we the only Christians and all that stuff. Okay, that's all, I don't pay that no mind. But one thing I do pay attention to, when it come to woodworking, when it come to quilts, when it come to vegetables and raw milk and all that stuff, they make a killing.
Yes, they are.
You can't go around in Amish country and try to sell a quilt and see what happened to you. Try to sell some fruit and vegetables next to the Amish and won't they step to you. You see, now, I bring that up, brothers, because to me it ain't about what you believe. You can believe whatever you want to. But what do you have in way of economics and politics that undergirds what you're saying and what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Because ultimately what I see, Robin, I'll be quiet, I'll listen, I see a lot of sex, money, and power centered around one or two individuals in these organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, one dude sexing everybody. He collected all the money going to him. And they can't do no wrong. Everybody, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, go ahead. I can't do. And I'm like, well, okay, that's okay. I'm not going to comment too much on that, you know, let that go. But I say, well, where is the economic? Why are we going begging instead of producing goods and services for people? We would rather go and beg and say this guy is better than that guy, and ain't nobody really that much that I see.
Exactly.
And when you try to get involved, and when you try to, see, I'm too intelligent to not say anything. When you try to add things, then that's where I'm not going to say the violence, or it could get violent, but that's where the intimidation comes. And I'm at the end of the day, I'm like, well, what am I doing here? Because we ain't got nothing, so why would I, you know, upset you to the point that we got harsh words from one another when ain't nothing really on the table to be fighting about?
Right. And that's true, beloved. And that's why the questions we pose in dealing with certain aspects of quote-unquote black nationalism or pan-Africanism, because you're absolutely right. And the one thing that, you know, and even speaking on black nationalism, you know, most would say that, you know, even for you to be, and this is something that Huey P. Newton broke down in the time of the Black Panther Party, because Dr. Huey P. Newton said, we can't be nationalists, because where's our nation? You know, where do we have control over the politics? Where's our body politics that we have control over? Where is our socioeconomic politics that we control? Where's our own judicial base that we control? Where's not only that, with all of that, from the political, from the social, from the judicial, you have to have a defensive arm to protect that. Where is that at? And again, going back to what the brother talked about earlier, as it relates to El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, peace be upon him, Malcolm X, the question of not just the economic piece and social, but land as well. You know, where's our land? We don't have, as the brother stated, anything. We have ideas.
Right.
We have bickering. We have whose man is better than the next man, as the brother stated. You know, that's what we have. But if you was to have a sincere conversation literally on black nationalism or pan-Africanism here in the United States of America, us within the belly of the beast, I always say, if we're going to talk as a nation of people, show me our departments. Where's our Department of Agriculture? Who can I get in contact with to show me how we're doing in agriculture? You know, and I'm not saying, well, brother, you could pull up you go on the internet and check out the black farmers. You know, that's the black farmers.
Right.
But are they our Department of Agriculture? Have we set up our own Department of Agriculture, our own Department of Education, our own Department of Public Affairs? Do we have a contingency of people that we travel throughout the world? Do we have our own embassy? Do we have our own mandates, laws, policies by way of which we operate as a governing body. We don't have that. We have, as Dr. Huey P. Newton said, communities. And this is why Dr. Huey Newton, he came to the conclusion, and I'm not saying this is the conclusion, but I'm giving an example of his analysis. He came to the conclusion that we're not black nationalists. We are intercommunalists. In other words, we are a fragmented people, fragmented communities, interrelated with each other. We've lost nationhood. Our idea is nationhood. Our step forward is to build about a nation. I believe this question was posed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at one point, as it related to the title Nation of Islam. And I forget what book it was, but I believe the question was asked, why is it called the Nation of Islam when it's not yet a nation? And I think his response was, that's the vision.
Mm-hmm.
He envisioned a nation to be achieved, to be accomplished. And henceforth, he said, we are the Nation of Islam because that's the vision. And that's what gears that people to move forward to build a nation. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about building a nation. You'd be talking about extending the nation, expanding the nation. You see, and so the brother is absolutely right. You know, we spend so much time, and this is why we talked about that in the beginning of this particular conversation, beloved, you know, on that, because we have to put that to the side. So, a very important question. The national question, the national identity question is very important. However, we waste too much time on that subject, arguing divisiveness, that it becomes just like Brother Malcolm said, as a religion, opium to the masses. And as Brother Malcolm said, put it in the closet. You know, put it aside, because if it hasn't done nothing for you yet, we don't need it anyway.
Right.
But bring it back again, beloved, to what we said. How many times have you, dear brother, have heard your own brothers might have greeted you, say, yo, God, how you doing, God? Yo, peace, God. You know, man, and in the conscious community, we all gods. You know, we all, brother, don't you know you the original man? You are the black man, brother. You father of civilization. Everything that the white man knows, everything that he has gotten, he's got it from us, and he stole it from us, brother. Now, if we say that, and we know that, again, why can't we recreate ourselves and be who we say we are? Because either you have your own agenda in your organization, and you're really not for unity amongst the masses of the people, you for the masses of the people in unison with you. Or there's another gang to it. You're probably helping the oppressor. Now, it's either
right. I want to bring up something real quick before you get too far. You know, like, you know, who do the black farmers really support? Some of them, I don't see them really going ahead and putting a strong effort in toward reaching out toward the idea of black nationalism. When I go here and I come across a black farmer, pretty much I hear him go ahead and say he's a Christian. And so when him going ahead and say he's a Christian, means he wants to go ahead and help his country, and his country is going to be the United States of America. So I don't really see that. And then I see people talking about getting into farming, but they're chasing their tail again. They don't know what right. It's like you can't really go ahead and see the forest for the trees. It's a problem, and you need to do something about it.
Exactly.
So my question to you is, do you know of anybody who is in farming that's going to go ahead and really say that they're black nationalists? Would they go ahead and raise that farm, bring up that farm to go ahead and create an industry to go ahead and help turn around this problem? Do you see anybody out there like
that? And that is the major question. Even if they don't say they're black nationalists, even if they don't say they're pan-Africans, their actions for our people and our people alone in our suffering, in our dietary, in our health, will speak volumes if they help. Now, we had situations where we had black farmers or representatives of black farmers, and we said, well, you know, and these are cats here in Illinois, Piatone, black farmers and so forth. we wanted to start setting up programs for the people, start teaching the people, you know, throughout various communities how to plant seeds, how, you know, to watch the harvest, how to begin to learn how to deal with fruits and vegetables and the process of growing our own foods, so that in the event that they choose to shut down these grocery stores, they choose to do whatever it is they want to do with these grocery stores and continue to feed us this food with all of these diseases, all of these chemicals on them, we don't have to accept it. We produce our own and have our own fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. They was all for it. You know, all for it. Yeah, that's something we need to do. Something we need to do. Never did it. Never.
But let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah,
this is a conversation.
Yeah, what do you think of Louis Farrakhan's, I guess, you know, he's done it multiple times, he's keeping it real, about 5 or 6 times, with his economic plan asking black people to give money to a fund so that he can buy farmland. I think he's been, like I said, making this announcement on and off for the last 30 years. Is it something we should take serious? Is it something you take serious?
Let me address that real quick, because I'm going to go ahead and put that, and I meant to put that clip in there. After the Million Man March, you know, Dr. Clark was still alive, and Dr. Clark called him a faker, called him a con man. Okay? And I think if more people had saw that then, I think Louis Farrakhan would be out of business right now. Because Dr. Clark said he knows other cons that Louis Farrakhan had put in place. That means he's been knowing them for some time. He knew them for a long time. So when you go ahead and you look at what I go ahead and I look at this when dealing with the Million Man March, not these last few economic plans you've been talking about. My question is, what happened to the money you collected prior to the march to support it? What happened to the money you collected during the march? And what happened to the money you collected after the march? See, and right now, you shouldn't need no more goddamn money. So, you know, Dr. John Henry Clark called him a con man, and he was correct. You got to go ahead and look at this man's record. And he is like, okay, well, you still collect the money. So now you got a new plan? It's like, yeah, what are you going to do with this? With the money now?
I mean, I don't know much about farming. But all I'm saying is at the Million Man March or now, if I thought we were serious about it, I'm not in favor of no 3-year thing. I ain't got that time to wait to see something pop up. I need a 3-day plan, okay? You got 3 days to raise money, and I'm with you, okay? I'm going to donate. And I really don't care what comes. I mean, I care what comes of it, but I ain't going to hold people tight to it. If you show me a plan and you're serious and you're going to get it and it's going to bear, I get 3 days, I get you your money, okay? And let's go. Let's move. I see urban farmers. And I you know what? They're doing more because they at least can show me a patch. They can show me a lot where they're growing. If it's only for them. I'm appreciative of that, and I give them all the credit in the world, okay? But when we try to make everything out to be a flim-flam in the black nationalist community, I think black nationalists, if it's wrong, we got to call people out because we got little credibility right now in the community as it is.
Exactly.
So when we see people, I think, doing wrong, there was a brother I saw, it was a debate. There's in New York, a Cy Netta, who's like a hype man, you know, for black consciousness community and get people to have discussions and debates between different schools of thought. Okay.
Right.
There was a one I saw, I wasn't there, I would have been there, on YouTube with Seti and a brother named Polite. I'd never heard of Polite. But when I heard Polite give his presentation, now, the brother was out front saying he believes in polygamy. I ain't got no problem with that because he's out front with it, okay? He has some of his wives at the event and his children. His whole thing was forget about the rhetoric right now. We shouldn't be focusing on the rhetoric. Let's focus with him. He said he was focusing on, one, health, because there are certain maladies that are running rampant in our community. He wanted to focus on health. And two, he's focusing on housing. Where he's at, he said he got real estate, he got apartment housing, and he's going to be the best at that. And I thought that was great. That was, you know, he didn't come with no, you know, pie in the sky, I'm going to buy, you know, I'm going to be Donald Trump, I'm going to buy a 50-story skyscraper. No, he was like, I'm in this area, I got these unit apartments, and we're managing them, and we're trying to look about other properties in this area. You can go to a location, you can see what we're doing. We need things like things that are not grandiose, that are small in nature, but are coming up. But we got something to show. A lot of stuff that I see, people been around for a long, long, long time. You know,
yeah.
It ain't right, and when they go, it goes. But I don't know. I'll let it go.
Let me take a quick break. I need to step away for a minute. Yeah, listen to this real quick.
Audio check 1, 2, 3. All the subject respect to my life, but your man telling the old song, much of the place that I'm down.
Well, he's come back to start straight up and the team's on the snow down. And I put your man some chip alone. Yeah, I'm getting used to me. Duck down. Yeah, you know the tongue, we don't hear. Burn like Gibraltar. I'll wait to be from the cheetah and the elephant. I won't get scared. If I should be angry, then I'll get afraid. I know anything we eat, I'll forget your regular beard. Use a free IG roots in first aid. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's how we can live. Good year to try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up sleeping lion and you start in the vent. Yeah, send me no one you over and over again. Difficult to capture, now but then came. Born accustomed to the tropical rain. Roar, take me young to grow. I will stop at the servant to protect the old. Lion light the fire so the vibes can cold. Warriors behind the songs when the tongue man of bone. Teaching the world with power and sound. In high places, low places, I come around. Tell all the hypocrisy come down. Expose themselves over all around. I move to the band and this one is the sound. I come to teach the world but the original sound. Round that stage of road and then you all come back around. It's up on the rhythm and I chant. Hey, lion a roar and people start to tremble. King said the lion is just something we're humble. Just hear the lion and feed him with food. Don't be out of order and don't you ever be rude. Lion jump far, lion of him far. Lion try and go anywhere he want. 14 corners all over the earth. See him so the lion a move. Lion rule the jungle without fear. Firm like Gibraltar, I'll be at the fear. From the teeth, the elephant I won't have scared. If I should get angry, they all would be afraid. I know anything me eat, me have to get a regular bed. Use a B.I.G. rules it for head. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's my mega name. Who dare to try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up, sleeping lion, you shall be in the bed. Send me no one over and over again. Difficult to capture now, but take them by while. Accustomed to the tropical plain. Man style! Now we come my select to do play the part of the bass. I know what the man says, son. Yeah, yeah, that's what them doing all the time. Lord, what the man says? That's what them doing all the time.
Ah, that was bullying. No, man, if that was good to buy some life inside the house. What a DJ we can start.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Brother Fakan, you want to go ahead and answer that brother's question?
Most definitely. Well, you know, dang, wow. I mean, the brother is on time with where he's going with the particular question, because as much as many would adore the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, even the Nation of Islam, many of us became conscious through the Nation of Islam. I myself am one of those individuals who, you know, I didn't care too much about whatever the hell was going on, and I just wanted to do my thing until I came into contact with the message of the black man by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. and through those works and through those writings. However, as the brother is relating, even today, with the numbers that the Nation of Islam might have, we don't have a hospital. There's no Nation of Islam hospital. There's no, you know, for the people all over, there's no outright agricultural farmland for the people. There's many things that's not there for the people. And this, again, goes to the question of nation. You know, as in regards to what happened to the money, I believe that I've heard the minister speak on that. And I think he addressed, he pointed out to people to go to, I believe it was the Main Man March website. I'm not sure if that's the same website name or what it is. They actually put the papers up with all the numbers, what went to what. What I've heard the nation has been doing as far as water systems in different parts of Africa and throughout the Caribbean as well. But again, you know, but again,
wait a
we're
minute,
dealing
wait
with.
Hold on, wait a minute. Wait. Now, the Million Man March was over here. So you got that money and you went way across the water, across the pond.
You know, I'm like you, Brother Rob. I couldn't tell you where what went, where, you know, again.
So we got no really no way to go ahead and see the results.
What I've heard.
Hold on. You really got no way to go ahead and see the results of all that cash. You can't
right.
see it firsthand. And I've been hearing like some cats say, hey, look, well, they got some farmland down in Georgia right now.
Right.
Okay. But you got
Georgia and Michigan. But, you know, again, now you get
yeah.
to the question of, here we go. Now, even on that subject, here's where you get into the heavy questions, because that's going to pop up with our people, because dealing with the money issue, they could explain where the money went. That's something, as my brother stated earlier, that's something that has to be put on the table in front of the people so the people can see exactly how the money was accounted and so forth. I believe the nation addressed that in the wise that they addressed it many times. Now, outside of the money, again, if we was to be serious, we don't have anything, because we can teach all day long How to Eat to Live by Elijah Muhammad. We can teach all day long on dietary laws, and many people who aren't Muslim, many people who aren't in the ranks of the Nation of Islam adhere to, you know, the How to Eat to Live that Elijah Muhammad put out. However, when you don't have your own farmland, when you don't have your own food, you don't grow your own food, you don't have the seeds, you're producing your own food, you're not doing none of that. You have no cows.
But they have a defense force.
You know, you have nothing. Then how do we manifest how to eat to live? How do we manifest the proper
Hold on, brother. But they got a defense force.
Oh, don't get it wrong. They actually do have a, you know, the FOI is FOI. But
right.
Now,
they got a defense force. You know, for defense, for what? For whom?
Here's the question. And that's where I was about to go. Here's the question. Well, who are they defending?
Right.
Because I've brought that up many times in the way of this.
Well.
And I say this to say this is it. And you've heard this question put out many times before. We are in Chicago.
Right.
They call it the number one capital of the of this country, and it outpasses and outshines even over east. You know, they say we outpass Afghanistan. You know,
yeah, we're the murder capital of the U.S.
And consider us the murder capital of the nation, right? Now, here's the question, and we have to be real. If you have the fruit of Islam. And I'll put this out on a show one day, Brother Rob, and we kind of laughed over it, but it was a serious question. Where we said, if as much murders that go on here, as much, even if not murders, even if just the outright disrespects on the corner that happened in Chicago, if there was a contingency of our brothers, do you know the psychological effect that that would have with most oftentimes brothers would just stop what they're doing? Man, put that up, brother. Here come them brothers.
That's
you know,
what I'm trying to say.
The psychological
yes, right.
effect. Now, remember
that's
the question
right.
I posed, Brother Rob, when I said, if Minister Farrakhan was walking down the street on 79th and Cottage Grove here in Chicago, and a brother stepped up to him and said, man, you know what? I don't like you. Say, nigga, get off this block. If one of them Fruit of Islam security guys picked up the phone and made one phone call, you'll probably have 300-something FOI flocked to that corner.
I can believe that, brother. I can believe that, brother.
To do what? To protect Minister Farrakhan. Now, in the same breath that you can make that phone call and have 300 people, 200 people, how many of us, 100 that will show up on that corner,
yes.
come to the aid and assistance of Minister Farrakhan, why can't we make that same phone call and have 200, 300 brothers come to the corner and aid and assist the disrespect that happens in our community?
That's right, brother.
Now, we've always said, if you take the FOI, and it's not just getting on the Nation of Islam, this getting on all the organizations who have defensive mechanism, who have numbers, to at least do security patrol in our communities. What's stopping the Fruit of Islam or the New Black Panther Party or other organizations who got numbers
that's
and
right.
they consider their defensive force? What's stopping them from sitting at the table and coming up with a defensive strategy for our community? To at
least sit back
and say with each other, if we can have a four-man team do security patrol from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and when 3 o'clock get here, we switch units, and here come another
that's
unit.
That's right, brother.
That way, it's some type of patrol coming down the street, because, again, don't get it twisted. As bad as our brothers are on this street, if they see some powerful brothers coming down the street,
that's right, brother.
This is just psychological. They don't even know who the hell you are. They just see uniforms coming down the street. They just all black fatigues and black berets. How do I know this? Because we had a time when Robert Taylor Holmes was here. We walked through the Robert Taylor Holmes, all black fatigues, black berets. We had our walkie-talkies, and we just was doing security check, meet and greet with the people, let them know, you know, we trying to build a defensive force. We want to protect our
people. No
trouble, I think. We didn't go in there and try to attack the brothers. Y'all need to stop selling. No. First of all, they had their walkie-talkies. Don't think you go walk into projects and they not already strategically set to move on whoever coming up in there on their turf. We can hear over our walkie-talkies them talking to each other. Check these guys out. Who these guys coming? I don't know. Send somebody out to assess them. They come out. We let them know who we are. Oh, man. And these brothers are cool. They get back on the horn. These brothers straight, man. They ain't no problem, man. They cool. Now, regardless of the actions of our brothers on the corners, that we
that's
might
right.
come from our brothers, psychologically, they
that's
respect.
Right.
They respect that bow tie coming down the street, them black fatigues coming down the street. They go say, hey, man, put that up. Here they come. Or they see the sister coming down the street. Hey, man, put that to the side, man. Sister walking.
That's
sister
right.
Walking. Blow that smoke out. You know,
that's
sister
right,
coming, sister coming. You know,
that's
now
right.
that's just, she didn't have to say a damn thing to them. He didn't have to say a damn thing to them. The point of the matter is we respect within ourselves, even if
that's
we're not
right.
caring to manifest it from ourselves, we respect discipline, especially coming from our own. We
that's
respect
right,
that. Farrakhan. That's just psychologically. Now,
why don't
that happen if we can make a phone call, 500 brothers come pop up for the aid and assistance of Minister Farrakhan? Of course they're going to do that. That's their spiritual leader and teacher. But, however, one man is never more important than the masses of your people and their life and livelihood.
That's
never.
Right, brother.
And
that's
how
right,
do I know that? Has he ever said that? Yes, you can listen to thousands of speeches by Minister Farrakhan when he never places himself higher than the people. Never higher than the people. So What's the problem with that? Why don't they sit down? They support each other in their lectures. They support each other in their meetings. They sit down side by side, FOI, MBPP, Black Panther Party, all these organizations that want to call it, hey, we got generals, we got lieutenants,
right.
We got this, we got that, we got that. But neither one of them hitting the streets 24/7 building strategic defensive patterns within our communities.
That's right.
Why don't we see that? It's just
psychologically. I agree with your tactic, Brother Farrakhan, and that's basically what I've been saying all along, all this time, you know. If we just stand, if they see grown, they see the adults standing up, looking to go out there in groups, night and day patrol, that's even better than what I even was thinking. You know, you came with the most beautiful idea. But let me tell you the reason why they can do that for me. With Louis Farrakhan, he's working for the devil. So we ain't going to get no help from him. We ain't going to get no help from the Black Panther Party. They're under the CIA as well. Most of these, this is the thing. Having a lot of black organizations is bad. Because that's how the devil can sneak their little, their covert organizations in there for the Negroes to jump on. You see? So it's not good to have too many organizations. We've got to come under one. We have to. Because we can't trust. As long as we've got all these different organizations, the devil can easily slip one in covertly. And I'm sure there's, for every 50 organizations there probably is in America, for every 50 organizations, I guarantee 45 of them are bought and paid for by the devil.
Exactly. And it's sad because it becomes a situation where, and again, I don't knock the knowledge behind groups like the Nation of Islam. I don't knock it because you could benefit very well from the knowledge of it. However, when you have individuals within said organization and those individuals seek not to manifest what can benefit the people, then and it becomes an entertainment piece and not a beneficial piece, then you begin the assessment of problems. Because, again, I had this conversation earlier with a brother. I said, I don't care how long you hoot and holler about unity amongst the people.
That's right.
Until we build as quote-unquote leadership, until quote-unquote leadership build a dedicated cadre, a dedicated body politic, a foundation where amongst us, we first begin to govern ourselves amongst each other and then show that governing body laid out to our people and what we created, what we would like to see our people help us expand on, get a little taste of, and maybe we can begin the process to govern ourselves as a whole. Until we put that amongst the quote-unquote leadership, okay, Dan, how long you hoot and holler about unity to the people? The people go follow their example. They go follow their example. And if you
hold on a minute, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me open up somebody's line here. 631-772, your line is open.
Yo, Brother Rob, this is Dave. How you doing, sir?
Oh, Brother Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right. Just listening in to see how you guys are doing. I got the text message. Been listening for quite a while now.
Okay. So what you think about what you heard so far?
Well, I mean, as the brothers have been talking about and the various organizations, and like what we've talked about too, Brother Rob, is from my perspective, like I said, with the International African American Caucus, we have no ties to the Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. To me, it's if that they have failed. And we've got to come to the realization that all of the older organizations, in the end, have failed us miserably. We look at, if they were so successful, then why do we have more African Americans in jail than we've ever had in history's past? We have a degradation of the family unit. 70% of our children are being born out of wedlock. Sisters are walking around with a million to one tattoos. Young boys are coming out of jail. Young girls are coming out of jail. And what happens, what do we think, or what do we expect is going to happen when we put two people that have been in jail, incarcerated, and they have a child? What kind of child do you think we expect that they're going to have? A scientist? A doctor?
Yeah.
And when we look at the industrial complex and how this is, I mean, right now they are making approximately 40 to 50 billion a year just on the African American population alone.
Exactly.
50 to 40 billion a year, $40,000 average to lock up or incarcerate an African American in the prison system right now.
It depends on where you're at, because that number is as high as 80 to 90,000, and that's what they're building the government on.
It can be. So getting back to these organizations that are out there, and you guys know where I stand, we need to go return back to the motherland, find a piece of unoccupied, undeveloped territory to create the independent African-American nation, and then brother who's talking about patrolling the neighborhood, guess what? We will then create the laws that will allow us to ensure that we keep public safety in all of our neighborhoods.
Let us bring back. Brother Fakan.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and tell Captain Hitt about your organization.
Brother Dave hit it on the, man, 200%. Especially
yeah, yeah, we're going to get to that later on. Go ahead and tell them about your organization.
Well, I don't want to say my organization. The idea was put on the table for the people.
Right.
And many organizations that's out here, we say, well, since it is so many organizations, we do understand that we can never, if it was one organization that's going to do the trick, all of us would be in that one organization. However, that's not the case. And to the degree that we disagree with these organizations, we at the same time agree with some of these organizations. So we take the agreement out of these organizations and take that and expand on that. The National Solidarity Committee was created to be an umbrella. Something like how the United States and their allies have the United Nations, something like how Africa has the African Union. We said we need to create something for us here within this beast for us to consolidate on, for us to build on, for us to create the laws to govern ourselves, the policies, the mandates, the charters, the constitutions, our own departments. And we would like to do that under what's known as the National Solidarity Committee. And that's why I said the last part of what Brother Dave, I believe, Brother Dave was mentioning as it related to when the brother said, and guess what? We create our own laws. That's the main objective, Brother Dave, is that we begin the process to create these departments, Department of Education, Department of Agriculture, Department of Justice, and in creating those departments, we create our laws that governs us as a people. We create those policies. We create those mandates. Because if we're serious about nation building, if we're serious about freedom, if we're serious about self-determination as we say we are, then we need a body politic that's going to help bring that into fruition. We need a body politic that we can turn to ourselves. And as the brother mentioned earlier, where there's no ties to specific organizations, or for that matter, the biggest tie, no ties to the government. You know, we need to create our own. It should be a point where if your child has a question pertaining to history, yeah, it's cool to go to the library, but when you want to direct your child to your Department of Education that's within your community, that you know when he goes there, he don't have to twiddle his thumb whether or not what's in this book is fabricated, or he don't have to decipher what's true and what's false in that book. We can literally give him the documentations and historical facts, historical proofs throughout the entire documentation, and he has his history in his hand. He can build on from history, build his present life, and help build the future life. We need our own Department of Education. And so, Brother Dave, I totally agree, because that's our objective, brother, is to create these realms amongst ourselves. And,
I was going to say,
But at
Hold on, Pop. I'll let you in a minute. Go ahead and finish, brother.
It's not so much even to create it, because they're already in existence. We just have not aligned ourselves with each other to expand what we have. Many of us have private schools that we've put out. You know, we're teaching our children different realms of education. We're bringing our children back to the focal point of not only just who they are, but the historical significance of who they are. And on other realms of subject matters that's very beneficial and developmental for our children. Now imagine if you took that individual, that school that's doing that, aligned him or her or them with that organization that's doing that, the other organization that's doing that. At some point from that, you build a curriculum. You build a curriculum that you could put together to help expand the schools that's already created, and we begin to galvanize the masses of our children, and we create our Department of Education. Let the educators create the Department of Education. They lay down the policies. They lay down the mandates that goes along with that particular department, and then everybody else in agriculture, our farmers, start the process to bring about the Department of Agriculture, the policies that go with that, the laws that go with that. And then we can, once we begin to start to put that together, we can bring into fruition what our dear ancestor Frederick Douglass said when he said, power concedes nothing without a demand. See, what we fail to realize, we quote that so much, but we actually living marches. We're not living demands. We don't even have power.
What's your email address? Because I'm going to send you a link to our Ning site. What's your email address?
Dave, I want you to go ahead and explain to the brother about the International African American Caucus.
Yeah.
Let me get this
email. Look, I say something, brother.
Let me give this brother his email. It's NSC, as in National Solidarity Committee. That's
yep.
NSC. _ Uhuru, 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 @live.com. And that's the National Solidarity Committee's email. Again, that's NSC_ Uhuru, UHURU, @live.com.
Live.com, LIVE, right?
Right.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is that the International Caucus with Reverend Wright? And that one that Obama was speaking at, is that the one that you're
talking
about?
Oh, no, totally different.
Oh, no.
Okay, because I was just about to say that's a CIA house nigga organization.
Captain Hitt, go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, what we've done is the International African American Caucus is a political party that is exclusively devoted towards the creation of an independent African American nation on the homeland of our ancestors. What we feel is that we need to do is take a small group of us, pioneers, identify a piece of territory that is essentially 100 miles by 100 miles, 100 miles of coastline, 100 miles deep, unoccupied, undeveloped territory, and then on that territory, that's where we then create the independent African-American nation. We are dual citizens. We still have our U.S. citizenship, but we create a new nation just like the Israelis, like Singaporeans, like the British. Like everyone else in this world that has dual citizenship, we now then create a nation of our own. On that nation, we then create our own government and our own laws, in which we then exclusively own and control the destiny of this new nation forever. Some of the things that we wish to do. One, we must have a very strong military in order to support and defend our Constitution and to be able to maintain an economically secure and politically secure environment.
I don't know if that's the... I'm just going to give you a bit of advice. I don't know if that's the best thing to do because, you know, when you're dealing with guns now and the weapons of the devil, you have to, you know, you're going to have to start taking... I mean, your best... If you want to get good weapons, state-of-the-art, the best weapon, you're going to have to do deals with Russia because I don't think the United States... They don't want the Negro in America to leave. So they're the only ones I could think that would support you.
It's
you know, enemy of the devil.
Where we purchase the weapons, I mean, wherever that happens, that you know that happens. But what we're talking about is creating a professional military force.
Yes, I understand that.
Need to have a professional military force. A lot of us that are a part of this are former military. I am a former captain in the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a spec ops operator, been there, done that, been around the world, been in combat in Desert Storm, was in Mogadishu, Somalia. So I can tell you firsthand what anarchy looks like in the Horn of Africa.
I ain't going to doubt that. I'm just wondering that, you know, when you start having weapons and stuff, you know, the devil can, you know, like what they've done with a lot of countries. I'm just giving you, you know, a bit of, you know, they usually just maul them, you know, when they know that they got weapons and stuff like that, and they usually go in and mess it up. You know, I don't know if that would be, you know, having a military or making the devil see that you're trying to build up a military.
Well, one thing I can say to that is that even just us talking and go ahead and screw this up. And every now and then I see people with shows that's talking about going ahead and doing nationhood, nation building, they screw up the shows. So, you know, even regardless, you got to go ahead and keep on going.
But everything else is beautiful, Brother Dave. I mean, maybe we can do it like Elijah Muhammad. I mean, you know, he didn't want no part of the weapons, you know.
Yeah, and listen, and that's one perspective, and we're not going to condemn anyone's strategy. I mean, there are many strategies. Our strategy, the IAAC, we're very clear in our strategy. And our strategy means when we get land over there, we're going to exclusively own it. African Americans are defined as the descendants of slaves born in America. So if you're the descendant of a slave, you will be the citizen. We are not open to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're very specific. We're very, very specific.
If this thing cakes up, I'll definitely want to come out to where you brothers are, you know.
Even on that specific question, on what Brother Dave is talking about, is I would agree 100%, because first off, you have to have a defensive backing. Now, the brother mentioned, you know, somewhere along the lines of Elijah Muhammad. Don't forget, dear brother, Elijah Muhammad also said that at some point the FOI may have to take up arms. Now, he said that himself, and again, that's from, as the brother stated, that's one perspective. But you have to have a defensive mechanism. This is why the Black Panther Party here gave us that example when they taught the people arms training, but not only arms training, they taught the people the law and how to go up against police or harassments and so forth on. Now, anytime you have land, you need a defensive power to protect that land. Even in your own home, we don't even have to talk about land. You know, in your own home, you're going to find a way. If you don't have a gun, hey, that's on you. But you're going to find a way. It's in your human nature. It's in your divine nature. Number one key of life is what? Self-preservation. None of us can get around that. You back yourself in the corner, you're going to find a way to protect yourself to live. You're going to do that. And if that means killing whoever has come within the dwellings of your home, so be it. They call that what? Trespass.
Self-defense. Well, our that's self-defense.
So we have to understand that, you know, at some point, and again, we have to, and I have to say this, we have to be real about this struggle. First of all black people ain't going to go for what we're talking about. You're going to have your ones who sit back and they're comfortable with what's happening.
Hey,
they
listen, and to highlight what you're saying right there, that's right, this is not for everyone. And guess what?
It's not.
And guess what? We, in our organization, are going to be very selective on who comes first. Now, when this thing, the Pioneer Force, gets established, the Pioneer Force must be made up of committed individuals that have certain skills. if you just coming over there talking about that you can just rap a couple of lines and you can sing a couple of songs, you're not needed. We need electricians. We need those people who know how to hang drywall. We need to know people. We need people who know how to survey land. We need people who know how to run a cable, know how to run plumbing. We need people who know how to build things.
And so don't forget, just brothers and sisters who are who you know, maybe some of the brothers and sisters. I mean, I don't have a educator skill, though I do box, but I don't have any, you know.
Well, then you can learn.
Like
if you have the
yes,
you have the capacity to learn.
At the end of the day,
I mean, I can carry things.
That's fine, but you're committed. You're committed. You don't need to be. Everybody can't be a PhD. We're not looking for PhDs. We're looking for a combination of both. There's going to be people that know how to fix engines. There's going to be people that know how to change tires. Those are the physical skills that we need. And when I look at Al Sharpton, if I look at Jesse Jackson, I look at Minister Farrakhan, I would ask them, I'd say, okay, tell me, how do I run, what is 12-2 wire, and how do I run 12-2 wire in the wall of a house, and how many amps does that take? They would look up to the sky. And they
same
would say,
me.
You know, and I'd say, okay, well, what about a door? How do I hang a door, and how do I put a lock on a door? Just simple things. Tell me about refrigeration. Tell me about changing the oil in a car. Tell me about how to swap out an engine.
On that wise, they should be able to direct you. I mean, this is all in the course of nation building. Now, for
no
example,
lazy Negroes.
We should all learn as much as possible on those particular fields.
My grandfather had told me when he was coming up from Alabama, back in the days of segregation, the African American was had to be his own engineer. He couldn't. Nobody was coming to his house to fix something for him.
You knew how to fix a car. You knew how to fix a radio.
Knew how to farm. The African Americans are the ones that fed this nation.
Exactly.
And
now
you have brothers and sisters who all they want to do is eat ring dings and devil dogs and don't know how to make nothing.
Now let's take what you're saying, beloved. Now let's take what you're saying, because again, this goes back to the visual of the house. You have the blueprint of the house, what you want to build. You put that on the table. This is what we want to build. Okay, let's start. We start tomorrow. You're going to have that group of contractors who come in. They're going to lay down the foundation. They come in, they do the cementing. You know, you got somebody who's going to come in, as you say, and do the electrical work. You're going to have somebody who needs to do the roofing, but they haven't got to that point yet, so he's waiting down the line. Somebody has to come in and put up the studs for the walls. Somebody else has to come in and put the drywall up. You know, somebody has to do the windows. You know, somebody has to come in for the heating and, you know, the cooling systems. There's different mechanisms for building this particular house. Now, we've always said that, for example, that's true what you said as it relates to at a certain point, hell, we had to do every damn thing. But now, we're in a situation where some people don't know how to do nothing, you know, and then some people know how to do things, some people know how to do certain things. Now,
the reason why they don't know how to do things now is because,
this is one aspect, brother. As much as we even give the reason, which I don't doubt that you're going to give the reason and it not be truthful, but here's the thing. We've always said if we concentrated on one thing, that would be detrimental to our people. Why? Because as we have the group who are economists, who can study the statistics of our people economically, who could tell us that we're spending $900 billion a year, you know, who could tell us, give us the numbers on what are we doing internationally, what are we doing as a whole. And as much as we have farmers who can give us statistics on agriculture, as much as we have many other key elements of a nation, I can't stop the agriculturalists from dealing in agriculture to come over here and start dealing with health or prison system. That's not his field. And we, and in building a nation, we have to sit back and say, who, for example, can help us make laws? Who are the lawyers that we have that we can begin the process to put a judicial department, a Department of Justice together? Get the farmers to help put an agricultural piece together. Because we live in a time now where people, we're like what we call, within our essence, we have many attributes. And if we sit and argue with the one positive attribute over here of peace, you want peace and I want justice, right? Let's say you want peace and I want justice. I'm going to argue with you all day long and try to get you on my side. Now, don't worry about peace. We need to be dealing with justice. Then I'll be wrong for that, because we need both. And while I'm getting a contingency or a cadre to help formulate that judicial aspect, you're getting that contingency and that cadre to help formulate that peace aspect, and so forth and so on. So we have a dedicated cadre that's formulating the body politic and dealing with the socio-political realms of our people. We have that cadre of people who are dealing with the economic realms of our people. And we have the other cadre dealing with the judicial realms of our people. And then we have that cadre, as the brother mentioned, dealing with the defensive ends of our people. That's what we see in the National Solidarity Committee. Now, why do we see? Because the reality is today, we do have, as the topic of this conversation is, why are there so many black nationalist organizations or so many organizations? Now, again, we recognize that there are many organizations. We can't stop the zeal that people have for a Prophet Noble Drew Ali, or the zeal that people have for an Elijah Muhammad, or the zeal that people would have of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, or Huey P. Newton, or Marcus Garvey, the UNIA. We can't stop that zeal. However, again, as much as we may disagree with some of their ideas or some of their philosophies, we do agree on other aspects. And so we take what we can agree on and say, let's utilize that. Now, for example, people will say, man,
let me chime in for a second.
And the Muslim, but we understand that they, the nation might be a disciplined group of brothers. Fine. We can utilize that. Teach our, because they're known for getting sisters off prostitution, brothers off drugs. You know, they're known
Let me chime in for a second, brother. When we sit down, like we on when you the link that I sent you, we have a proposed constitution for the nation that's there. You can download it. You can rip it apart, make it better. You may agree with 100% of the constitution that we offered. You may disagree with 99% of it. So we've already got a starting point right there. Take a look at it, download it, because we need to be able to form a government. First step is first. You got to form a government. Once a government is then formed, then that government becomes a government, quote, in exile as of right now. Then we then identify and locate the piece of land that we're going to occupy for this new nation. Now the people, the pioneer force, imagine the pioneer force of about 250 individuals. That 250 individuals will have to land with the material that is necessary for them to establish a beachhead, on the beachhead, establish communications, security, and then begin the aspect of building and occupying that small piece of territory. First step, building the airport. Airport has got to be built first. And at the same time, the port has got to be built. You start improving the land, get that airfield, that improvised or that improved airfield, so then you can start flying in more supplies, and you start identifying the area for your port.
Now, I understand all that. My question would be, because we've had this discussion before, and not you and I, but this discussion has been on the table many a times, even with the question of the Black Belt in the South, in America. Do we take so many Do we take so many states? You know, that question has always been. However, there's still the existence of the imperialists.
Yeah,
there's
well,
still
and,
the
and that's why
of the oppressor. So one is not when we're talking about gaining this particular freedom, gaining this particular liberation of our people, it's not just occupying a particular land, because the reality of it is we are throughout the world. And never, not one time in reality have we just, unless you want to go back millions of years ago, where before geographically the lands are
split. I know where you're going with it. What I'm looking for is I want to get a piece of land over in Africa where we can plant an African American flag, our own flag. And Brother Uhuru, you are there as one of the legislators, as one of the leaders there, as an owner of a business, whatever the business is, and it's owned by us. It's not going to be owned by the Europeans. It won't be owned by, you know, people from America or Peru or Brazil or Japan. It's going to be owned exclusively by us. So I'm talking about a place where my kids can go to school, and they will see the history of the African-American people. When they take a dollar bill out, they're going to see the faces of their ancestors and how we determine who, what ancestors. Brother Uhuru, my suggestion for the dollar bill is I want to see Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Malcolm X, Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois. That's my suggestions. You may suggest another group of people. So put them all in a hat.
I agree with what you're saying, brother, on that aspect. I guess my question, let me rephrase the question. My question would be, as you see that on the mother in this particular landmass, that's just the landmass that we see, and we see our people on that landmass, are you
mm-hmm.
just focusing on that particular landmass, or do you say, man, we have people throughout the diaspora, and what we have on the African continent that we've put together on the African continent as a governing body that we control, and we control our own currency. Not only do we have it there, which could possibly be like central headquarters or something, central governing, the capital, or however you want to call it, but we have it in what's known today as Jamaica, what's known as Brazil, what's known as, you know, we have it all.
From that nation, our nation's government, we will have, or I would propose that we create the African American Investment Corporation. The African American Investment Corporation will invest in opportunities that it deems necessary and that believes that could be profitable anywhere in the world. Meaning that we may decide to take some of our money and buy 10% share in Chase Manhattan Bank. Because we think it's a good investment. Why? They're African Americans that have a lot of money in Chase. We may decide to buy 5% shares in Bank of America. We may decide to buy up land for other farmers, or we may decide to buy land in Brazil, or invest in the Brazilian banks, or invest in Jamaican banks. So
here's where that would throw the movement as it relates to. What we discussed not only in the National Solidarity Committee but just throughout this movement in general, where we sit back and we say, why should we invest at all in a Chase Bank or a Bank of America when the proof is in the pudding that this particular economic foundation of America is falling already? It's going down, and this is why they're trying to create the euro or whatever else they're trying to create.
Brother,
I ask you.
I'm using that as an example. I'm using that as an example. If you say, Dave, hey, listen, we need to invest in the Bank of Switzerland. Fine, let's go there. I'm just kicking it.
What I would do is.
Tell me, let me ask you a question. For the African American Investment Corporation, Brother Uhuru, you tell me, where do we need to make an investment? An investment based on our national interest, where would you invest?
This is where I would start. First off, A, we don't have our own currency right now.
I'm saying
we have to get the process of, yes, we will say we need an economic. Some people say we need an economic start to do certain things. That's true. Internationally, you have people who are here within this country who's fighting for the struggle, freedom, liberation, who's dealing with Africa as it relates to materials or minerals, gold and so forth on. Now, what I would say is what we should begin to look at is find a way to look at what brothers like Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was doing before he was assassinated. Him and his and the African Alliance, who said to themselves, we need to create our own African bank and create our own economic wealth and currency.
Well, we would have without
the actual existence of that.
With our nation has its own bank. We're going to have our own banking system, our own bank. We'll have the African American dollar. It's going to be backed by a physical, tangible asset. And the way we have it in the Constitution, our money is backed by a physical, tangible asset, meaning it's not going to be just backed by gold or silver.
In ourselves. You don't put your investment in a Chase bank.
No. Hold up, brother. You're not getting, brother. We have to have. We're going to be smarter than a lot of other people. Of course, we're investing. Every company that is in our nation is owned exclusively by us. So, meaning our people own 100% of the companies in our nation. Now, our nation and our government, being smart like other governments in the world, we look at emerging markets. Where can I take brother Uhuru? Let me ask you this. Say, for instance, you have a tile company, a company that makes tile. You manufacture tile. Now, it is incumbent upon our government now that when you are making tile in our nation, we need to help you sell that tile throughout the whole entire continent of Africa. We need to help you sell your tile to South America. We may need to help you sell your tile to America. So we need to have interests, because right now we have American interests. If we have a nation that's built tomorrow, and that you and I and everyone else goes over to Africa, we already have investments already in another country called America. We already have investments here. So it's prudent upon us to make sure that those investments grow and that they maintain profitability. So we will already have those investments. And then there will be a lot of people from over here, African Americans, that will never go over across the land. So they will be here, and then we can help them with their businesses here. Because right now I'm on Long Island. I'm in Long Island, New York. I hardly see any African American businesses out here. Now, these Chinese, the Indians, and everyone else, how come they own all these gas stations and all of these 7-Elevens and all of that? Well, the reason why they own them is because they have a sovereign nation of their own. Exactly. They make a phone call back home, and they say, guess what? I need you to send me $250,000, and I can buy up this gas station, and I can own this. So the Bank of India sends them $250,000, and then they get paid back. Same thing with the Bank of Pakistan, with the Bank of China.
Exactly.
But we are the only culture on the planet that does not have a sovereign bank to call its own. The only culture.
And we don't have that. However, when the idea came about, we saw what happened with our brother, and which struck down that whole platform of alliance and what was being created. My thing has always been this, beloved, is as long as we as a people could put together an economic plan that if this country's currency failed and just shot to shit and said, and we always said, for example, we always use this, we say, if you woke up tomorrow and turned on your television and there was a breaking news and it was on every damn station, United States currency has fallen, we will no longer be continuing the currency of the American dollar, They just went into this whole hiatus of they just Xing out the currency of America. We need to be in a position where if they did that, that wouldn't matter to our people.
Agreed. And you can only
we have what we have as a nation.
You can do that from a nation of your own. But for the American currency, let's get it real clear. The United States of America, no matter what happens and no matter what's in the news, the U.S. dollar is never, ever going to lose its value. And the reason why it will not lose its value is simply because of the U.S. military. The U.S. military is designed to do one thing, and that is to keep the value of the dollar intact. So when the minute one person in this world says, guess what, that $100 bill, Benjamin Franklin dollar bill, we're going to burn it. It's not even worth the paper it's on. You can't buy nothing with it. This country will go to war in a second over that. So our military will never – our military is designed to support the dollar itself. And we are the only superpower on the – I mean, I don't know if you – were you in the military yourself?
No, sir. I would never join the United States military.
I understand that. And I've been in the military, and I believe in learning the art of war. I know Rob has been in the military. We all been. A lot of people, I don't think that they realize how powerful the U.S. military is. And what I can tell you is this, and a lot of the brothers that have gone in have done very well, have done excellent. And the U.S. military, this government will blow this entire world up before it gives the world away. There is no...
One of the presidents, Abraham Lincoln, said himself, he mentioned about that before anybody was to ever attack America to such a severity, they would blow America up themselves. They would not go down in history as somebody destroying them. They would rather destroy themselves.
And without the power that we have in the military, and people, they hear about it, but I'm telling you, and I know the reality of it. The weapon systems that we have are designed for one thing, and that is to maintain our superiority. That's why we spend $700 billion a year in our military. We spend $700 billion a year on the military. We are the country that has 5% of the world's population, but we spend more money than all of the armies in the world.
And that's for the time being. Now, yes, America, one would say yes, America is considered the most powerful military.
Hey, hold on. What's the background noise there? Is somebody cooking or something? What's going on, man?
I don't know, brother. Might be.
So the dollar in the meantime, see, this is what makes it so beneficial to us, brother, is that we can take our U.S. dollars and we can go anywhere in the world and convert it to gold, to silver, to copper, to water, to diamonds, to bauxite. We can convert it to anything. And the minute – so now imagine – so we take our U.S. dollars. I take 1,000 of my U.S. dollars. I go over to Africa. Africa, I want to buy $1,000 worth of gold. Okay, so now I give them my U.S. dollars. They give me $1,000 worth of gold. Then we take our $1,000 worth of gold to the African-American nation, and then we print up $1,000 worth of African-American dollars that is backed by the gold or backed by a physical, tangible asset.
Exactly. And that's why I said I agree with you on that aspect.
And so what I'm saying is, but we take our U.S. dollars. See, this is where we got them. When we take our – imagine the day comes when we take the U.S. dollar and we say – and we go to buy gold and they say, no, we can't – we're not going to take those U.S. dollars. That's worthless. The minute they say that, then America, what, our U.S. dollars are no good, then this is why we have a benefit. The U.S. dollar is never going to lose – in our lifetime, the U.S. dollar will never, ever lose its value. It's not going to happen.
Now that's like dependency on the value of the U.S. dollar. Because that's putting more – here's why I say this. We can say all day long that the American military is the most powerful military that there is. One could say
And it is. And, it really is.
However, that doesn't negate the fact that it can lose in a war. That doesn't negate that particular fact.
Of course it can lose.
It has been shown throughout history that they have lost wars. Because perfect examples when they fought the war in Vietnam. And they couldn't deal with fighting a war in Vietnam and having to deal with the brothers and sisters and the white leftists here in this particular country and what was going on here.
If they wanted to just blow that place to smithereens, they could have done it. And it's just it's like, look, like with Iraq, we went through Iraq. I mean, Iraq, yes, we've lost people, Iraq and Afghanistan. But in the end, we control the air. Nobody flies anywhere. Wherever we go, we 1,000% control
that's
the air.
There is no America, and this is just a known fact, brother. This is a fact.
And remember, these are African American pilots that are out there right now.
Listen to what I'm saying. Here's a well-known fact. America is only powerful as it is allowed to be powerful because we as Africans, not only here in America, we as Africans throughout the diaspora, is including the motherland itself in Africa. Whether you're talking Africa's in Africa, Africa in Asia, Africa, here, Africa in Brazil, wherever we are, we've allowed America to be as powerful as America is because we have not united as a people. We have not came together as a people to stop America and its power. That's the only reason they are as powerful as they are, because we're not united. We don't have a united nation that we represent our own people, that we have that military force that you're talking about, that we have that body politic, that governing body, that we literally have our nation back in order as a people. They are allowed to be as powerful as they are, because if we were united in this view that we would like to see our people, that power that America has today would no longer exist.
Hold on a minute. Okay, Kayla and BA, your line's been open. You know, you can go ahead and chime in anyway. We got
your
what's up, brother?
Yeah, brother Kayla, man. I was thinking of Kayla. Thinking about calling you the other day, man. And I got caught up on something. I'm glad to hear you, Kayla.
Good to hear you too, brother. You know, what's going on, brother? Who? Brian?
That's his brother, Fakan.
I'm just going off the email, so if
yeah,
I made a mistake, I apologize.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Brother
Fakan.
Yeah,
I listened to both of you, and both of you making really, 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 really good points. You know, like I said, the key is, you know, just like I said, if you don't know, someone will teach you. And like I said, I always said, if you want answers, the right answers, you got to ask the right questions. You know, the question is, look for the future, not for just us sitting here, for future generations. Do you think it's better with the number of Hispanics that are moving into this country? Forget about America for a second. This is all they want to do is forget about America for a second. America is what it is. You know, you're never going to get anything out of this Congress. You look at what's going on in the Senate right now with the trying to filibuster the health care, something that's going to help everybody. And they're doing this over a health care reform, which is going to benefit white people, black people, everything. Can you imagine trying to get a reparations bill or anything bill through the Congress, or as much less them handing you over four or five states in the deep south? So once you take all that off the table, right, just realistically, if you're saying you take all that reparations stuff from the government off the table, they're never going to happen. Right?
That's right.
The next thing that you're going to look at is something that we can actually do, you know. It's something that more and more people I'm talking to, you know, that are doing business in Africa, Mr. Rosenthal and several other people. And I asked them, well, what do you think about the fact that if we would have a Brother Hitt and I disagree about this one particular point, but what if we were to negotiate for a term of like 5 years, our own territory and everything, just enough to get us on the ground and everything like that, and then we're strong enough to declare independence and everything, you know, and then the future, everything's going to go up from there. Because when you're building a nation, you know, everything is growing. Everything is growing. We already got the people that are accustomed to living a first world lifestyle. All you have to do is be selective about who you bring over there. It's a can't fail situation, you know. So when people say this is far-fetched, look what's going on right now around the world. You have more white Americans leaving America and everything, rich people, just to hide their money, you know, hide their money. You see America, they're going around the world. Everybody's migrating out of the world. You got a huge migration, human migration going on all over the world. You got Mexicans moving into America, Mexicans leaving America. You got Asians coming into America, Chinese. You got Asians moving into Africa. Everybody's basically jockeying positions around the world. It's two things. We are the only group of people, black people in America, the only group of people that have no global plan in their liberation. That's the first thing. You know, no one ever thinks about
where we look at the city we're from.
Yeah, you know, but what I'm saying is when I hear black people talk, our people talk, they always talk about we got to build the inner cities. I mean, the inner cities is not our homeland. Even if you build the inner cities, which is never going to happen, you still lose. You know? And so basically, nationhood right now is a firewall. And the more we talk about it, the more I explain the history. And how it was sabotaged, how black people really, really wanted to leave this country and build their own nation. We wanted to do this 150 years ago, but it was sabotaged.
Everybody's line is open, so you don't need to keep tapping one on this keypad.
All we're seeing now is because we have the internet, because we have bros like David Hitt and myself and everybody else, and we're bringing historical references and everything, and we're looking at success models around the world. Countries like Singapore, in the 1950s, Singapore was one of the poorest regions in the world. Most people in Singapore and Malaysia, I'm looking at a documentary from Malaysia, only had tin. Now look at it. You know, it was mining tin, you know, as a major thing. Then it built industries off that tin. You know, it's now doing palm oil, and they got whole industries they built around it. Look at their cities and everything. Why? Because they basically, that's what they wanted. But look at us. We basically are relying on a white system that just gives us the crumbs. Everything is based on, even if you get your college degree, you go out there and take a second-rate job because you're never going to make as much as white people do. Even our best and brightest work under, have a glass ceiling, you know. So the bottom line is that's the way it has been in America, and that's the way it's always going to be in America. And so the bottom line is, if you ask yourself the question, why are the richest, most successful black people in America entertainers? The richest black people in Nigeria are industrials, you know. The richest black woman in the world right now is a Nigerian lady who owns the oil consortium, you know.
Exactly.
Do you see any black people in America doing oil? We consume oil. We consume if you calculate how much black people are spending gasoline every day, why are we buying something we don't produce? You know, we buy cars, but we don't make them. The only way we're going to ever do this is basically having a place where we have a government of our own that allows us to do that. It's never going to happen in America.
And that's agree 100%. And I appreciate that particular comment, brother. And again, my stance has always been anytime we deal on economics, we can have the brightest of the brightest of our people to deal with economics. However, our economics should never be to the point, as you said, dear brother, where it's dependent on this establishment. That's it. Because if this establishment crashed, we should be to the point where we can sit back and say, oh, okay, well, you know, that's cool. I feel sorry for them.
The next step is you look at countries that have it like that, a country like Norway, who has a $12 billion sovereign wealth fund, investing in the same thing we want to invest. I float our own sovereign wealth fund globally, like Brother Hitt was trying to talk about, which we invest in businesses. Or can you imagine if we had our own nation? Wouldn't it be basically make sense to invest in a Pakistani company that manufactures fiber optic cable? Why? Because we can basically make sure our investment is secure by basically giving that company preferential treatment in our market. We can't do that in America. You know,
correct.
You go over, you let any black man go in and say, well, I want to invest back there because you can come to the inner city and build it. They'll laugh you right up the thing. Nobody comes in here and deals with no black people. Because we're the only people like children. 40 million people, $1.3 trillion economy, and we're like one big child. And we're baby, everybody just like one big baby everybody takes candy from. You know, that's all we are.
Well, I mean, you have to have the internet to communicate. I mean, even
you have to have
Martin,
your own sovereign government.
Martin Garvey set that example as it related to dealing with the economics of our people, not just here, but on the international level. Elijah Muhammad himself, with the Nation of Islam, when the Nation of Islam started, the uniforms, those uniforms came from Japan. He had international communications as related to Japan. And so at this particular stage, in this particular dawn of our struggle, yes, again, I agree 100%. The only thing is that we should never depend on this particular realm. Use it as a tool to get wherever we need to get to.
But right,
like
just
you
like
said,
everybody else, we
box,
like everybody else. Everybody comes here to learn. Everybody comes here to do business and give and go home.
And
you know,
put it back and then go home. That's it.
And put your money back in Africa. It's simple as that.
And put it back where it belongs.
We should be trying to take $10 trillion out of the American economy in the next 30 years. $10 to $15 trillion out of the American economy,
mm-hmm.
any way necessary.
Exactly.
No.
And that's one thing we've always talked about is for what the brother brought up earlier, Brother Dave brought up earlier, dual citizenship. And you know how many brothers, not only do they just stay here, but they have places in Ghana, they have places in Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can take $20,000 here, take it over there, you know, and buy land.
You can buy it. For $100,000, you could buy and build a house in Ghana that would that you could fit four houses in America in.
Exactly. And that is smart economics. So now
is black achievement on the line?
Now it goes back, Brother Rob, too.
Yes, he is.
Why are there so many nationalist organizations and no.
Yeah, they are. Well, let's ask Black right. Achievement. What's that? What do you think about all this?
Say it again, bro.
Black Achievement.
Yeah. Thanks, Chef, for the show. Yeah, Carla, how you doing tonight, brother?
What's going on, bro? Black Achievement.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I'm just, you know where I stand. You know, I'm just listening and absorbing the information, ready to move out. You know, I say this, we got to make it in America first, man. You know where I stand.
Yo, bro, like I said, you have to admit, we got, like I've said to you many times on my show, whatever like that, we gave all you people that believe in America, we gave you how many years? 400 years, you know, and look at Chicago right now, hell on earth, Detroit.
Right.
You know, Gary, Indiana, D.C., man, you know, there's babies dying in the streets and everything. Black Achievement, I'll tell you right now, if we had a nation, do you think there'll be guns and everything like that on every street corner? Or do you think kids would go to school learning? What do you think we'll do to drug dealers and everybody like that that want to do something? What do you think will happen to them? You know? So the
well,
bottom
can I make
line
a
is,
comment?
Yeah.
How you guys are doing? I've been listening to you guys for the whole show, great show. I have some comments and some questions. We hear this topic a lot. This is not a new topic that I've heard throughout.
Hold on, who's that speaking?
This is Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Chef? How you doing?
How you doing? Go ahead, brother. Switch your piece.
Well, it's interesting. He used the word of dual citizenship, and it goes to this nationalism and stuff like that. Nationalist is basically someone who says my nation is this, my nation is that. That's what a nationalist is. But, you know, they ask people, they say, you know, if we get all the quote-unquote black people together and have this community, some blacks will want to know who's going to be in that community first, because we still have to deal with each other, even if we go into that community together on a social level. We talk about, I hear you guys talking about business and business and business and money and money and money. And as I've talked today with other topics, but before we get to that, we have to know how to communicate with each other. I hear a lot of people, you know, saying go back and dual citizenship. Well, that person who has that dual citizenship is not renouncing himself from a nation. I hear a lot of people saying, I want to go back to Africa. I want to go back to Africa. And
let me say something.
I haven't finished, sir. Can I please finish? I listened to you almost for two hours. Right. See, I listen to y'all talk about monetary system. All types of government has some type of monetary system, even in Africa. People talk about Nigeria. One lady, she's a billionaire, but I asked the person who went to Nigeria, they still have a lot of poor people there.
Right,
bringing them
right,
up.
That's not us. That has more to do with, and I'm reading this interesting article. You got to understand something. A lot of countries in Africa and Asia and everything, they don't have a they were basically colonized, right? The British and the French and all the people colonized people did not want to create a democratic culture. So they basically empowered kings. The African kings and rulers never had the power they did until the colonials came there. Let me finish what I'm saying. People in Africa, and I studied this, the power of the king came from the state, and in every African culture and society, they had a thing called the Mesi. The Mesi was a council that basically the king had to defer to. The Mesi was made up of merchants, farmers, elders, and all these people that the king had to defer to. They could depose them, put them in slavery, and execute them, right? The idea that the king had absolute power over life and death is something of a European construct. Never happened in Africa until the introduction of guns and the slave trade.
Now, you cut me off, sir. I don't mean no harm. If you're telling anybody that, sir, that is what you just said is not true.
It is true.
I can go to Africa now, sir. Listen, let's be real, sir. Let's be real. Come on. Before the Europeans ever set on Africa, sir, there was kings and queens in Africa. Hold up, sir. Before the Europeans came, sir, there was kings and queens. That structure, even just like the Europeans had king and queen, it was messed up. Before they came, the Africans was fighting against other tribes, and those kings took over other tribes. When the Europeans came, sir, the Europeans did not go into the woods.
Name one kingdom, and I'll tell you all about it.
Okay, the Ashanti kingdom, the Bantu kingdom.
May have your pan target, stick it up, you to betray and practice, stick it up. May have your pan.
Okay, hold on. Let him finish his piece, Kayla, before you go in on him. Okay,
I know. Kayla, let him talk. Sir, I've been listening to you almost 2.5 hours, and you've been cutting me off. I haven't even got 5 minutes.
I just got on.
Oh, okay, but what I'm saying is what you said, see, that's wrong, because I'm letting you know for a fact that the way the structure was in Africa before the European kings, with tribes going against tribes, cutting other kings' head off, enslaving other tribes, let me tell you for a fact, my descendants were defeated in Africans by the African kings when we came over here. That's a fact, sir. That is the fact. You have to tell the whole story. Now, what I'm going to say, the Europeans and those African kings, they were corrupted, sir. I cannot. I have to speak all the truth, all the facts.
Hold on.
What I'm saying is when you're talking about getting all this nation and all this money and all this structure, I'm just saying there's a lot of people are saying this. Go back to Africa. But when it comes to America, are you going to renounce yourself as an American first or go over there to Gandhi and move your business, renounce yourself, and don't have nothing to do with America?
All right, well, let me state my position, okay, first of all, about that. You know, as far as like dual citizenship, that's just a thing to me, because there's some people when we do build our nation, who basically will, on day one, will say, forget America, I'm out, and they're joining a new nation, you know? As a matter of convenience, you know what I mean, common sense will tell you, no matter how, if we do build a new nation in Africa, black people in America are so tied to America, it's going to take 100 years for black people to completely wean ourselves away from America. And it's going to take it to people being born on the continent again, you know, for that to be. But people that were born in America, lived there most of their life and everything, they go over there. There's going to be some ties to America, whether you got a financial stake, whether you got a pension, whatever it is. So therefore, as a matter of convenience, you might as well keep dual citizenship. But if you don't have to do that, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, that's just
basically. The only thing I'm saying is that if you're going to go hit African to African, you might as well get a. Renounce yourself, right? I mean, if you don't want nothing to do with an America, it's real easy.
I'm not saying.
Stick it up. They have the bond target. Stick it up. Use of history and non-profit. Stick it up.
Okay, hold on. Let me say something. Mike. This is my thing here, okay? Now, I can't speak for the whole continent, but I've been to a few countries over there. And then what I've gathered is what you're saying is about it was corrupt and all this stuff. That's not totally true. It's one of those things where the Europeans go into a place, and that's one way they go ahead and get the rest of the world and get more Europeans to support them by going ahead and saying this is corrupt. They go ahead and say it's corrupt by going – what they do is they paint a picture as being corrupt by going ahead and misconstruing the whole damn truth. And by going ahead and saying they was going ahead and enslaving each other, it's a little bit more to it than that, Mike. It's a lot more to it than that.
No. I'm just saying if you
Let
go
me finish,
to
Mike.
Listen, no. Okay, I will.
Hold on. When you go ahead and really sit down and look at that whole slave trade thing about Africans and enslaving Africans, it was a whole different ball game when the Europeans came into to it. Okay? It was a whole totally different thing. So, you know, you need to look into that a little bit more, Mike.
But I just want to say this. When the Europeans came to Africa, and I'll ask Black Achievement, when I do my research, I'm not going what Europeans say. I'm doing what the ancestors and the generation of Africans are in the Africans now and what they say about the slave trade. I don't want to go about what the Europeans say.
But listen, the Europeans,
this is a full fact, and those people in Africa will tell you about the slave trade. They will tell you.
I'm
just talking about Ashanti. Right, but I'm saying they asked the African kings. They didn't ever go and invade. They asked them. They had permission for the African kings to do it, to trade it for guns.
Those individuals in Africa right now, to this day, didn't even know there was a slave trade. Didn't even know there was a going ahead.
Yes, they do. Have you studied? Listen, I've studied some. Have you ever studied the history of Ashanti? Have you ever studied
the history of Don Francisco?
Don Francisco's family, even though he's a European, he fathered 90 sons, and they're all African skin, darker than me and you, and he will tell you what his father did.
I didn't say all. I said there's a lot of people over there who didn't even know that was even exist to this day. And it's the same thing over here. You're miseducated about what's going over there. They're miseducated about what's going over here, Mike.
How am I miseducated? How am I miseducated?
The whole slave trade was not what you said it was, Mike. All the guys were corrupt. Once the Europeans came into the...
Who permission did they have? Did they have the Africans' permission?
The Europeans didn't go into the villages.
Wait a minute. When the Europeans came, they didn't go ahead and deal with the Africans because the Africans wouldn't allow it. They went to the Arabs first. That's who they started going ahead and dealing with the slave trade with.
Because the Arabs were enslaving Europeans. Correct. Christians and Europeans at that time. And then
the Arabs and the Moors started the black slave trade.
The Arabs did enslave Europeans. That's a fact.
So here's the thing, Mike. Okay, look.
All people are enslaved.
I don't want to get off into that right now because I wasn't.
No people is better.
Mike, this is my question because my show is about this. Do you think there are just too many black nationalist organizations?
Right, being a nationalist is the problem of the world.
Can I say this, Brother Ron?
All nationalists, even if you call yourself a nationalist, you're the problem of the world. Because it's but your nation will not survive without other nations. You're always going to trade with another nation.
Exactly, right.
So it's a delusion. It's a delusion to think that you're right because
line,
you wouldn't survive without other nations. You would not survive without other nations.
Hey, I don't see Sweden and Norway complaining.
Right, but they're the solution, though.
Who was that speaking? Was that you, Black Achievement?
No, it was Brother Fakan. It was me, brother.
Okay, Brother Fakan, go ahead. What did you have to say, brother?
I was going to say, both the brothers are correct if you really listen to what these brothers are saying.
yes.
The brother went in on the statement of the kingdoms that we had because, and they heard me get up off this subject, but Europeans didn't have kings and queens. That's something totally new to them today. Kings and queens, Queen Elizabeth, King Charles, whatever the case may be that they have. They stole that from us. We don't know about the Kanem Borno of 744 to 1893 A.D., the kingdoms we had, the empires, the Mosai, you know, not just Kush. What about the Katana?
Right, but that whole kingdom is a problem. So when you have a family that's greater than somebody, that's the problem. Kingdom, never use the word kingdom. Kingdom has a king, and that's the problem. You never have a king and queen. That's the problem. That Mahali, even if it came from Africa, is the problem of the world. No one is higher than nobody on this earth. That's the problem. No human being is higher. I never look up to another man or another family. That's the problem of the world.
We had
never
throughout our African history, and these are documented from the great scholars that we have. And I'm going through the scholars who wrote history on our books, who talked about the great kings and queens of Africa. I'm talking about those scholars, those books that we read today on our history.
And those kings and queens were the problem, sir. They were the problem. You should never have a king and queen.
If that's the case,
you never.
The Europeans. If that's the case. Even if what you say is true, let it be true, brother. But
No, that's factual, sir. None of us, I don't want to live on a Gaddafi rule or king and queen. Do you want to live on a king and queen? That's crazy. That's looking up to another man or another family saying they're greater than you or your family.
They have the fun target, stick it up, military and non-property.
Okay, so we're living under this system with a damn president. Are we doing much better under this system?
No, and you're right. Listen, it's still clusterfuck. Mankind has not found a way to solve all the key. Look in your history books. Which one would you rather win? All of them are messed up, bro. We're still looking forward.
Hold on. I want to say, I love this listening to history because for me, you can't know where you're going until you know where you came from. Okay, so, you know, we got a little problem with that to a point. But my thing right now, are we doing, in this country, are we doing good under this so-called democracy?
No, we're not. Brother, let me finish the piece that I was trying to make. This is one of the, in the beginning, we talked about the divisiveness amongst our people. The same conversation we're having right now, whether or not there's queens and kings in Africa, and it's been changed from kings and queens to labor the chiefs. You know, we went through that question over and over in dialogues, not just us on this phone, but many, many people. It's the same divisiveness when you hear whether or not we should be called Moors or whether or not we should be called blacks. We're not dealing with the all-out actual of what we should be dealing with. The major theme of this particular show is, are there too many black nationalist organizations or parties or tribes?
Exactly. That's the problem. When you are part of a tribe, you will always go against another tribe. That's a line. When you call yourself, you're separating yourself. When you put a line between me and you, I will guarantee you we will eventually go to war in the future. That's a fact. We can see it in our history books. It's too many.
That part I agree with you on. You know, it's a tribe. But let me say something. I'm gonna set something up. I want to see how everybody explain this.
And I've been talking to some Nigerian brothers lately. And I'm just sometimes it gets me depressed when I learn truth and everything like that. And it's one, and I was wanting to know why there's tension between the Yorubas and the Igbos, you know. And the Yoruba brothers saying, you know, Igbos need to leave Lagos and everything; they don't belong here and stuff like that. And then they're talking about next year Nigeria's federation expires and they're going to break up into like around 10 different countries. For Biafra region, and the Delta region, the Yoruba Kingdom region, the Dodowa region, and the Hausa Fulani region. They're going to go back before the British created, and they say this artificial state. And then the Yoruba's like, look, tell me. And I said, well, I'm a Pan-Africanist. I'm an African nationalist. I'm a Pan-African. They said, look, man, you guys with your past, I said, well, you don't expect Marcus Garvey and Kwame Nkrumah and all these other people. They said, look, you know, I was a Yoruba thousands of years. I could tell you my lineage hundreds of years, unbroken. I can tell you who I am and everything. You know, I have nothing in common with this Igbo over here. And the bottom line, I have nothing in common with any black person in America. You know, I'm a Yoruba, and this is I'm on a Yoruba nation. My own culture, values, we build our own civilization before the white man came here with him imposing this thing called a Nigeria on us. And that's growing as a powerful movement in Nigeria. And Nigeria does not check this, it may break the country up. And the whole thing is this. How do you basically put people together? We have a concept, we're all African people and everything like that. We're all black. And we basically have that because we lived in a situation where the only thing we knew about ourselves was we were from Africa and black. So that's what we call ourselves. But when you go to parts of Africa, they're saying, oh, geez, you know, that's not my identity. You know, I'm not a Nigerian. You know, I don't. That's something that somebody imposed upon me. You know, I got my culture and everything like that. And they said I have nothing to do with the Igbos and everything. And that's just the way it is. Now, there's a lot of urbanized modern Nigerians who say, look, man, we're all Africans, we're Pan-Africans, but there's a growing movement of people in Nigeria who basically the Biafra movement is up and running again. You know, they're serious. People don't even know the Biafra war. I mean, millions of people died in that war. You know, it was one of the most catastrophic wars in history. Most black people don't know about that because we don't like to talk about black-on-black conflict. You know, we brush it under the rug. You know, but these things are these
no,
things
we
are
have
real,
black-on-black
you know?
Conflict in America. We have it on our streets.
Yeah, but
it's not ethnic based,
though. You know, black
it is ethnic based. Hold on. When you talk about ethnicity, you're talking about culture and everything. It is ethnic based. When you use the word ethnicity, when you said ethnicity, you're talking about the culture. You're talking about everything about the person.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
we can see in the inner city
street.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, now you said it's ethnic based. Okay, like these cats here in Chicago, I want you to go ahead and. You been to Chicago before, Mike?
No, I haven't, but I've been in, but I stay in Baltimore, Maryland. It's the same thing here. What are you talking about?
Okay, so Baltimore, Maryland. So
ethnic?
Right.
Hold on, Caleb. My question to you is, you go ahead, you break down the different ethnic backgrounds of the black people in Baltimore.
Yeah, you can. You have some blacks are Christian. You have some blacks are Muslim.
Hold on.
He's challenged me. Sir, ethnicity derives on what your culture, your language, how you dress. Even the ethnicity when we're talking about the hip-hop is a culture. What is ethnicity, sir? Before
okay,
we even
so
go
but,
further,
but,
we have to define what ethnicity
religion
is.
In there. So religion also, that's a whole different
thing. It's a part of it, right, exactly. Hold on. If I see a Muslim walking down the street in the Muslim, I can say his ethnicity, and I guarantee you it's going to be a part of religion. Ethnicity is actually who the hell you are. Everybody have different. Your religion, your culture, everything is a part of your ethnicity. Look it up. It's a fact. I know what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying is, we've been battling and whooping. What I'm saying is, you're talking about the human. How are we all going to deal? What is that nation? Because someone said, I don't want to live under a Gaddafi regime. What is this nation? What is it going to be the rules about? Someone said, not about money. If you're talking about, you're still going to be talking about using a symbol to trade something, whether it comes from the earth or people make it out of paper. It's going to be a symbol. Even Nigerians have a monetary system, but I'm just saying that we're going to go and get this nation. What's going to be the rules? How it's going to be a government? Because I don't want to go back.
Let me chime in on this one.
It's going to have to be some type of
you
order.
Hey.
Because y'all talking about money, and y'all not talking about how we're going to deal with each other.
Hold on a minute, Mike.
To a person a day.
Mike, you didn't hear the part earlier when both the brothers pretty much said they had documents to go ahead and govern that part.
Yes. See, brother Mike.
Right. Now, is that coming from your mind? Who is that coming from?
Brother,
does that include all the people? Whose mind is that coming from?
Hold on. Brother Mike.
Who's making up that government? That's coming from an individual. I want to talk to these people. Who is the committee that made up that government?
No. Coming from
what is their philosophy?
Look, Mike, let the brother speak over there. Captain Hitt, then Brother Fakana wants you to explain what the National Solidarity Committee
is. Mike, if you go to AfricanAmericanNation.ning.com, AfricanAmericanNation.ning.com, on there you will see a proposed constitution, proposed African American constitution. Mike, download the constitution, rip it apart.
No. Hold up. That constitution is someone, that man who sat down and made that constitution. Hold up. That's the problem of the world. He said that man's whoever structured that, that's the problem of the world. He don't got everybody into it. When we start something on, everybody has to come on. Hold up. I will read it, and that's coming from his theology, his philosophy.
We're asking you to be a part of it. Download the Constitution.
Okay.
You may agree with 100% of it. You may agree with nothing. And if you don't agree with anything, if you see a way to improve it, then please put your comments on there to improve it. I'm asking you, be a part of it.
Right. Okay. Now.
Every one of you, put your comments on it. What we've done is,
why does it have American on there, sir? Why does it have African American?
Because
why did you put the American on there?
The reason why we call ourselves African American is because it's a placeholder for now, and it clearly identifies in the world who we are.
So you use the word placeholder. That means that it's holding a place. It could change. So what are you going to change it to in the future?
You tell me.
Why are you just using it?
No.
That's why I asked you. Why did you name it that way? Because
Mike,
you're saying.
I'm telling you the reason why. Let me finish. African American. We use that name as a placeholder because if we went to the Prime Minister of Japan, if we go to the Prime Minister of Pakistan, if we go to the President of Norway, and we said, guess what, the African American people are going to build a nation, they know exactly who that means. The descendants of slaves born in America. If we say the Zulus are going to build a nation, the Igbos are going to build a nation in Africa.
But when you go to them, who are you under? What is your nationality factually when you go to them?
Who?
It's American. When you go to them, you're going to be what?
We are going to be dual citizens. We have an American citizenship.
Hold on. That's why I use renunciation, sir. See, you're playing games, sir. See, that's why I just...
No, brother.
See, you can't...
We're not playing games.
First of all, yes, one foot is in the tub and one foot is out of the tub. I'm asking, are you going to take a bath or not, sir?
When you say dual, you're playing games. You have to go through a transition phase, and the transition.
No, you don't. I can drive to Mexico right now, sir, and renounce myself as a United States citizen.
You can absolutely do that, sir.
And you can
take your passport and you can throw your passport in the garbage, but get on a plane and try to go someplace and see what happens.
You know what, like Black Achievement says, sir, basically what you're doing, the reason why, because you're using some type of benefits of being an American, sir. That's why I said, why are you using that word American?
Okay, brother, go ahead.
These brothers been, I mean, it's been long enough, about 10 minutes back and forth. Here's the thing. I understand what my brother Dave was saying. I understand what our brother Mike is saying. However, with Dave, and I have to say this because this is a conversation that literally took earlier today. And that is,
oftentimes people will negate what you're talking about because the brother brought up a valid question. Who put this Constitution together? And not for you to answer that right now, but who put this Constitution together? Who put your proposal together? And the conversation that we had earlier, one of the things that we fail to negate as a people is what's known as mutual consultation. We don't consult each other in a lot of things. We put it together individually, set it on the table, and say, here's the proposed Constitution, or here's the proposed this for African Americans or for whoever the case may be. The biggest question that remains is, when you say we put this Constitution together, is the we a consultation amongst the people in the community? Is the we a consultation amongst various organizations and various parties and various tribes? Or is we various individuals within the realm of a specific organization?
To answer your question.
This is also another problem that we have as the African people. We don't allow ourselves to finish a statement or give a criticism, give a critique to each other. Always remember, beloved, that you can never be stronger than what you are now without sincere criticism. I welcome criticism. You should welcome criticism. We all should welcome criticism.
And brother, what I've asked you to do is to download it and criticize it. Can I finish?
This is my thing. Where I'm going with this.
All right, I'll let you finish and then let me speak.
I'm going to download. I'm going to read over it. I'm going to take a look. I'm going to do all that you asked for. However, again, whenever you propose in something that you seek to be representative of your people have to have, you have to have mutual consultation with your people. Now, in the National Solidarity Committee, we put together not just a charter that we looked at the African Union Charter at the time because we wanted communications to be in sync on the international level. We reached out to Libya at the time. We reached out to Zimbabwe and on the African continent. However, here in America, as I stated earlier, as an example of what we put together in the National Solidarity Committee and why we say we wanted to put this together to be an umbrella for the people, it was not a couple of individuals or people within one specific organization who said, hey, let's slap something together, let's get our heads together, put it down on paper, and we're going to introduce this to the people. No. We went to the Gangster Disciples, or what's known as the Growth and Development. We went to the Black Keystone Rangers. We went to the Nation of Islam. We went to the African People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. We went to Black United Front. We went to New Black Panther Party. We went to the Morris Science Temple of America, and on and on and on. We went to many organizations to the point where we had a couple of leadership conferences representing representative of various organizations sitting at this leadership conference. We said, let's take what we all agree to, and we want every organization to what who's sitting at this table, what we take as a survey amongst the people, because we surveyed the people. What would they like to see amongst the organizations to be achieved? What are the different aspects of these organizations that the people would agree to? And we came up with a platform and program that in the platform and program is mixed the literature of the Black Keystone Rangers, Growth and Development, Nation of Islam, Morris Science Temple of America, and other various organizations that we could agree to. Why? Because most oftentimes today in our society, amongst our people, we will not sit at the table and really take heed to what you're saying unless we see ourselves in it first. That's just the reality of how we deal with each other as a people. Because as we say, we're the only group of people that would deal with each other like that, because we've already conditioned to be zealous of what it is we grew up under. in whatever organization we came up under and whatever gave us the benefit. And so we said, again, we take what we agreed to, formulate this charter, formulate a platform and program, and then go within these various organizations and see how their departments are ran, and then formulate a conclusive piece for the umbrella that will formulate the department of this or the department of that. Anytime you have an organization that will just say, well, what? Here's what we propose. That's cool. Propose it. Critique it. We're going to look at it. And but it goes no further to the UN. It goes nowhere to any outside oppressor as a negotiation piece. It goes nowhere to conversations on that wise until first there's a mutual consensus amongst the masses of our people that, A, this is what represents us. The consensus of our people agree. We are under this, and we can send this off now as a negotiating power to whether it's the UN or to whoever other specific places.
That part I agree with.
I want to say something, though, sir. I understand what you're saying, and you're right. And you're
But check this out.
Okay,
wait, wait a minute. You're trying to say, he just basically laid out, okay, there's some things, you said some legitimate things about who did this, okay? He answered that. Now, next step is, Brother Hitt, he has a proposal like that. It's basically, it's the I believe, the people who are activists in the community, everybody should take a look at it and say, hey, look, this is what we can do to contribute it, critique it, and maybe some other people like that, get people talking at least, so we're all on the same page. And then you can move forward, you know, so everyone feels like...
Well, I just want to say something,
you're trying to say just doing it all together is a problem. This ain't up to negotiation. Nationhood is not... We're not negotiating on this, you know?
But,
so kill that right now. You know, there's no going back from here, you know?
Well, you can't go that how the quote-unquote white man did it. You see, he got into his little room, and he got into the. I just want to say something. See, listen, look, let's watch. People in America, let's forget about Africa, and we talking about nationalism. This go in. People say voting don't count, but let's just watch. Look how many black people came out and vote for Obama, both elections, guys. Just look, okay?
Yeah, your point.
That shows who the. Okay, hold on. And okay, so let me, now I'm not going to give you an opinion. I'm going to give you fact, what I can see. That all the ghettos, the poor black folks, the middle class black folks, the upper class black folks, right, can get together and they can come together on an issue and come in numbers as one and do something. Hold up. Listen to what it says. See, you're the problem. See, hold up, stop.
Go ahead, finish your statement, Mike, because I want
to
say something right after this. Go ahead.
No. What I want to know, because what
get
I'm
long
trying
with
to
it,
say
man.
Is...
We only got a few more minutes, bro.
Okay, sir. I've been listening to you for 2 hours, sir. I listened to that man for 5 minutes.
Too long ago.
I haven't even spoken 60 seconds yet, sir, and you're saying I'm long.
Stick it up. They have your on target. Stick it up. Use of history and non-profits.
All right, check this out.
Go ahead.
Let me say this real quick, because this is a good point that's been made in my chat room. And it's American blacks were programmed to hate, distrust, and disrespect each other, and most don't realize the need for massive deprogramming. You know what? That's good. That's a real fucking good point. Excellent point. If you go ahead, we stop and we listen to each other, we'll go ahead and see that we really are on the same page.
Exactly.
We are.
And look at the voting aspect.
Now check this out.
Sir, I haven't even finished. You can't comment. I haven't finished my thought. Don't comment on voting because I haven't finished.
Now check this out. You know, we all agree that something needs to fucking be done. How we at this point, how we fucking do it, I'm almost like, I don't give a damn. It just needs to get done. Let's work this out. Let's figure out a fucking solution to this goddamn problem. And we don't talk over it. Let everybody, we can go ahead and work this out.
Hey,
okay.
Rob, but see, when we start talking about the voting process, like the sisters that was out on the corners between Ashland and Cottage, walking down the street, having brothers and sisters during that time of Obama sit back and register to vote. I mean, if we don't have, start having these conversations, why don't you teach the people the real truth? It ain't voting that's getting these people in office like Obama. Because first and foremost, your Constitution clearly tells you in the United States Constitution
okay.
that it is
so
the
I'm
going to
ask you, in your African government, how are we going to elect our leaders? Are you going to have voting in your system? In Nigeria, are you going to have voting in your system, sir?
Of course, there's a voting system. There's a we're using three branches of government like what we're used to right now, but we've improved upon it. So take a look at the Constitution, rip it apart. I want to hear your comments. Make it better.
You may come up with a constitution that should reflect my point. I told you there's going to be some type of voting system. I told you.
Of course there is.
You have to vote.
You may be the president, Mike.
Right. But you
no, no, no. But he's criticizing voting in his America now.
Wait a minute.
In this particular country,
Rob,
brother,
what's up,
brother Mike, you have never voted for anybody in this particular country. That's why they have what's called the popularity vote, and then they have the Electoral College. The Electoral College is what puts your president and people
sure.
like that.
Right, but I agree with you. We need to change that. We can change that, though. We need to change that. That's crazy.
The popularity. So all the brothers and sisters went out to vote. That's what happened.
Hold on. Who's number
312-388? Hey, that's me, man. What's good with
like
you, bro?
Hold on.
Bobby,
no, that's 312. What's up? Who was that? Is that Bobby?
Yeah, man. What's good with you, man?
What's up, man? You've been sitting there and said nothing the whole time, man. Yeah, you ain't said nothing at all.
I've been listening to the brothers, and I've been letting them go at it, man. But no, the brother right, I just chimed in a little while ago, but the brother right, we do have to come to, like, a common consensus. Because the thing about it is, yeah, we have all these different organizations, but yet we're all affected by the same thing, which should bring us to unity. However,
and you know
that hasn't been the case.
Oh, Mike, he ain't said nothing,
Mike.
Yeah, he's been sitting there quiet the whole time.
I'm agreeing with him because these organizations is the problem. They haven't done nothing.
Okay,
Michael,
let me say
that.
You're right, sir. The organizations actually aren't the problem. The thing is that we're not seeing our true problem. We're thinking that one person can do it for us, and it can't. It has to be a collective, organized movement. And the thing about it, our collective, organized movement, which comes from that, is that us by unifying, because we are all affected by the same thing. And once we realize that we all have the same problems, then we can come together to rectify those problems. But when this person is getting a little something and that person is getting a little something, they don't seem to be affected by it. So, therefore, I'm not going to unify with this person because I'm not dealing with the same thing. But overall, we all are affected by it. And that's all I'm saying. Now, all I'm saying is that we have to look at it and say, okay, yeah, you got the GDs, you got the Stones, you got the African organization of this. You got the African organization of that. You got all these organizations, yet they're not looking at the common thing, the common problem, and how they're all affected. Once they
That's
focus
why they
on the common problem, then they can focus on the common goal. You know what I'm saying? And then come together because, hey, well, I got the same problem. Because when you look at it, we all searching for the same damn thing. And it don't matter if you're a gangbang on the street or a politician and thing. We all trying to live righteously, or we all trying to have a life in this. And regardless of whether when we label ourselves off in discommunicated, or that might even be the wrong word, but when we cut ourselves off,
I understand you, bro.
People,
I understand you.
You know what I'm saying? That's when we fucked up at. And that's the truth. It don't matter about how many organizations you got. It's till we unify and say, because that's, in all honesty, when you go back and you look at what the Europeans did, they was fighting amongst themselves. And then they said, you know what? Wait a minute. We are common people with a common problem. Fuck fighting against each other. Let's go fuck everybody else up. And they put all their differences aside and unify.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is that's the same kind of concept that got to get in our head. And say,
right,
okay,
and
no
then
way.
That's why I brought
you
up the voting because we came out in number. I'm not saying the process.
Yeah, we
I'm not
came
agreeing
out
with
number,
I'm,
but we
that's why I'm saying, sir. That's all I'm saying. I said, let's look at what we did. That's all. That's all I said. Right, because I didn't vote for him the second time.
For Obama.
Exactly.
Out
so that shows
Obama,
we can
look
come
what Obama
out.
Did to us. We can come.
I'm not talking about that, though, sir. Hold up, though, sir. I'm not talking about that. I just want to look at our action and what we did on Symbolize, because he was a symbol, and I'm just saying he was a cause. But I'm just saying, look at that. Now, I didn't vote for him the second time, sir. But I'm just saying, though, sir, we came out and we had some, because we can choose what when we want to come out. If you look at what we do, I open my two eyes. I don't use no third eye. I open up my two eyes and see how we do. If we look and see that we do can come together and we can come on some issue, if we can come on an issue to come together and vote for Obama, we can come on other things. That's a fact. That's all
I'm saying. Mike, let me say this. See, that's what Brother Foucault and Captain Hitt was saying, okay? They got plans, okay? And I like both their plans, okay? I got no problem with both their plans. I figured, hey, look, we can all sit down at the table and go ahead and make this and create something we can come under one plan. And that's what I'm all about that, because I know there's some shit need to fucking happen. It need to change here real soon, because it's getting fucking worse.
The solution will never be written, sir. I will say this and I'll be quiet.
Mike, let me finish. We live here in this goddamn bitch, and this fucking city here, these brothers here that's from Chicago know it's fucked up over here. You know it's fucked up in Baltimore. It's almost identical.
Exactly.
But Chicago's a little bit bigger. There in New York, he knows, and that other brother, and we all know there's some shit fucked up. So here's the thing: let's go ahead and add something to it, and start taking away from it. We need to go ahead and add something to this, okay? Because we all got the same goddamn problem. We got to come together. All the criticism,
exactly.
Here we're to
and
a point, but we have to go ahead and get on the
exactly.
same page.
And that's what I wanted to, and let me make a correction to the brother, for the brother. Not that the NSC or National Solidarity Committee has these particular organizations, but remember, one of the things that I mentioned as one of the primary aspects of focusing on to start the process of aligning ourselves and really critiquing and analyzing each other is, again, mutual consultation. We have to consult with one another. First and foremost, this is why the NSC consulted. You know, we took that effort to consult with these various organizations. And in turn, these particular representatives from these organizations said, okay, well, let's put down these literatures. Let's put down these documents and see what we could pick apart from everybody's document and then begin the process of establishing a consensus amongst that. This is just an example because why? Again, as the theme of this conversation, why there's so many black nationalist organizations, but yet, again, there's no foundation that we all agree to, no foundation that we all united up under, you know, but there's many organizations. And until we have a consensus amongst each other, until we literally consult each other,
that consistency is going to be what we all can see. What we all can see. Everybody can see.
Until we download what the brother has and then download what other people may have.
I never had to download nothing, sir. I'm saying what the consensus is what we all can see without downloading anything. We have to see. Forget the computers. We're going to have to look at each other, brother.
That's right.
Don't have to download nothing.
They have the fun targets. Stick it up. Schools of history and non-profits. Stick it.
Hold on, Mike. What you just said, you don't have to download. Mike, that to me right there, that kind of like, that got to me. You need to go ahead and see what they put on paper, their ideas. And we need to go ahead and pay attention to what everybody's ideas.
Right.
What these two brothers have been saying is they didn't just go ahead, it didn't just come from them.
Chef Rob, let's look at history. Everything that man has kind of, that's why I told them who, that's still
okay,
coming
so
from
Mike, okay,
man's
so Mike,
mind.
Look,
listen,
now,
everything that man has written down. I say let's look at history. Every man that has voted down.
They have your fun targets, stick it up. Schools of history and non-profits, stick it up.
Stick it up, Mike. Now, listen. God damn it, that you need to listen to what these brothers got. These are solid plans. I've read both of them. Okay? Pay attention to what these brothers are saying. Before you can go ahead and you get the criticism, you ain't hearing the gist of it. Until you read the whole thing, then you can tear it up. But if you go ahead and hear bits and pieces and stuff that's on top, you're not hearing the whole thing. And then there may be another two or three more brothers come with something else. We can go ahead and put this up together and make one good something really nice. Listen to what we all saying, because all you've been doing is just really tearing it down.
I can download the Nation of Islam Constitution and what it's going to give me, peace in my life. I'm saying, let me tell you something. This
brother,
is my point, bro, and I'll be quiet. Listen, consensus
is
what
point.
We all can see. We can see right now. We can see right now, if you're talking, quote-unquote, black people.
They have your band target, stick it up, so betray and non-practice, stick it up. They have your band target.
You missed the fucking point, Mike. You missed the whole damn point.
Can I chime in for a second? Listen, Mike, it is there as a suggestion. Our organization, look, I lived 11 years outside of the country. How long have you lived outside of the country, Mike? How many countries have you been? How many countries have you been, Mike?
I think Mike hung up.
Okay. So, all right. So, unfortunately, he hung up. Bottom line is this. We've got something there for people to review, rip it apart, make it better. What we're looking for, what we do know is this. A constitution, when we look at a constitution, a form of government, a platform, a blueprint of how to govern ourselves, we have to remember this is not a white man invention. This is the invention of the Africans from the time of back in Egypt. The first people to organize themselves in a government started off in Egypt. During those times, the Europeans were in caves. So forms of government and written constitutions are an African creation from the start. So all we're doing is taking what was originally ours and making it for a modern time. Back then in Egypt, they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles and all of that type of stuff. They didn't have computers like the way we have it. So we're talking about how do we rule ourselves in a modern society and how do we prepare our children for the future. 100 years from now, what is this world going to be like? 100 years from now.
Who knows?
That is going.
How we still going to be here.
We're going to be having this conversation 100 years. Our children will be having this conversation 100 years from now because nobody's taking heed. And what's funny is what the Brother Dave is talking about, and yet we may have slight disagreements with each other. But overall, the brother and I would say, the brother would probably say, overall, we agree with each other.
And that's what we're saying. Now, what I can say from my side,
that's a good thing.
The commitment that I have towards this objective, this goal will happen no matter what, with or without the people here. We're going forward. We're going to get our land, and we're going to rule ourselves in our own land, by any means necessary. It's going to happen.
Right.
Regardless, that is the only solution. I will not die in this country under this person's rule until I see our own nation. However, it needs to be created. And one thing I will say is this: when we get there, this is not going to Africa to ask them, oh, let's get a piece of land for 50 years and live under the rule of anyone else. No, our organization does not propose to live under the rule of any African government, period. We're going to rule ourselves from day one. We know how to do that. Secondly, we are looking to take the best of the best from the African American community in the sense of people that are committed to this goal. This is not for everyone. We're not taking everyone. If a person doesn't have any skills, you're not coming. We're not bringing a ghetto mentality, or we're not bringing the hood mentality. Little Wayne is not invited. We don't need him. He's not invited. We don't need Jay-Z. That's the last thing we need. We don't need him. We don't need Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. We don't need that. We need people that know how to physically build a nation and to create a society that can make us proud and show the world, because we're